This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
Everyone, this is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. Well, TGIF, it is Friday, and thank you for starting your weekend with me. It's only an hour into Friday, but Friday, it certainly is. We've got an action-packed show for you, and we'll tell you a little bit about it. We've got a couple of interesting guests. We have denunciations coming your way at 3 o'clock, but first, I am ready to answer your questions on absolutely any subject because it's time for
The Other Side of Midnight proudly presents Ask Frank.
Ask Frank anything.
Ask Frank anything.
Ask Frank anything.
Ask Frank anything.
If you are new to the show, at least in the Friday listening portion of it, this is the portion of the week where we allow you to ask questions about anything you like. If you need advice on a personal matter, I'm happy to answer it for you and give you the advice that I'm best suited to give you. 800-848-9222. If you have questions about what's happening in the world of radio, the world of electoral politics, you have questions about cocktails, gambling, cinema, television, you name it. Now's the time. Any subject is fair game. 800-848-9222. Same thing if you have questions about my personal biography, my personal preferences, anything that you're interested in, you're entitled to ask it. I may not know the answer, but if I don't, I'll make an effort to at least try and find out the answer. So, and we really want questions here. An idea. Here's an example of a question. What's your favorite color? An example of a question is not, well, Frank, I'm outraged at ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, and then you speak for 5 minutes and you say at the end of your 5 minute diatribe, right? That's not a question. You know what a question is. So whatever the question is, now's the time to ask it. 800-848-9222. Steve Adubato joining me at 3:30. We're going to talk about the New Jersey governor's race. They had a big debate this week. I only saw a little bit of it, but Steve is actually going to be interviewing both candidates for New Jersey governor coming up over the weekend. So I'm looking forward to hearing a preview of that. And my brother-in-law, Josh, is actually going to be here in the second hour. And we're going to talk about a bunch of things, including YouTube censorship, including vaccine hesitancy, including astrology. Maybe he's a personal trainer, so maybe we'll even ask him a little bit about physical fitness as well. And right before the show, I actually got a call from Curtis Sliwa, the Republican and Independent Party candidate for mayor, and he has some breaking news that he's going to share with us at 2 a.m. So he's going to call in at 2 a.m. as well. So we got an action-packed show for you. We have denunciations coming up at 3 a.m. too. 800-848-9222. Your questions on any subject, 1-800-848-9222. Let me begin with Bonnie on the Upper East Side. Hello, Bonnie.
Hi, Frank. How are you? I'm still here, staying up until 1 o'clock in the morning, not getting any sleep.
Believe me, I appreciate it, Bonnie. Thank you.
I know. All right. I have a question. Did you have a chance to talk to Curtis Sliwa about the suggestions for his new TV ads?
I did, actually, and I gave him the audio of our segment, and he said there were several ideas that he liked and that he would consider one or two of them. I'm not sure which ones he's going to end up picking, but I did share with him all the ideas that were brought up.
Okay, Frank, I have one more thing. It's not a question, but a suggestion. You were talking last night about postnatal drip and your head and so on. There's a cure for that, and it's called the Anywhere Pillow by My Pillow. It's a little baby pillow. The pillow, like what you would put in a baby's crib for a baby, but you use it, you tuck it right under your neck on top of your regular pillow. No more neck pain, no more shoulder pain, no more overnight back nasal drip, whatever. It is incredible. And I've given them to all my friends. That's the secret right there, because it support, you know, your head weighs about 20 pounds. And if you don't support your neck and your head properly, That causes a lot of problems when you sleep. I had horrendous problems with sleep until I got the Go Anywhere pillow by My Pillow. It's just a little tiny baby pillow, but it's a miracle. Try it.
I'm actually familiar with the Go Anywhere pillow. I don't think I have one, but I will I will order one, actually. I'm a big supporter of My Pillow, and I know Mike Lindell very well. And he's been a big supporter of me and of my career over the years, and he makes a great product. I sleep on a MyPillow every night, so I will try that Go Anywhere pillow. That's a great idea. 800-848-9222. 1-800-848-WABC, answering your questions on any subject. Patrick is in the Boogie Down Bronx. Hello, Patrick.
As you may be aware, that the Project Veritas headquarters was flooded in my mouth.
Didn't you just call as Paul and try the same thing with Dominic?
Do you plan on interviewing James O'Keefe?
Well, I was emailing with James the other day. I told him he's welcome to come on whenever he wants to stay up late. I don't know that he's up for staying up late. So whenever he wants to come on, he's welcome to. James is a friend of mine. He's kind enough to mention me in two of his books. So, look, James knows he has an open invitation whenever he wants to come on. 800-848-W. But, you know, when you call these shows under different names, and you always say the same thing, and you say it in a mechanical manner that sounds like you're reading from a script, it's just boring, as far as I'm concerned. Talk radio is supposed to be entertaining. It's supposed to be fun. If it's not going to be entertaining, it's not going to be fun, it should at least be informative. You're not informing anybody. You're just reading like a robot. 800-848-WABC, answering your questions on any subject. That's 1-800-848-9222. Ellen is in East Brunswick. Hello, Ellen.
Hi, Frank. I guess I was going to say, how are you? I guess I will say, how are you?
I'm doing great, Ellen. Thanks for asking.
Good. Well, first I have to thank you for mentioning me the other night on that anniversary show.
Oh, well, no, I appreciate your patronage and your support and your listenership more than I can say.
Oh, my gosh, what a wonderful show. Wonderful show.
Thank you.
As always. But anyway, I have two questions. The first one is about the music you play. I know you only have an approved list, and then for a while you could only play 15 seconds, and now it's 30 seconds. So I was just wondering how that worked. And my second question, I just heard you talking to Dominic about, you know, the days are growing close, and so you're trying to plan things out. And I was wondering if you guys are planning on having a baby nurse, because when you're working at night, poor Rachel is going to be stuck with all the feedings. So I was wondering if you've given any thought to that. I guess you have given thought to that.
Well, I don't know about a baby nurse. I know, my mother-in-law was going to stay with us for the first, the first few days or so. And, both of my parents live close by, so I think they'll probably help out. But I'm hopeful that this is one area where our complementary schedules will actually be a benefit, because when I'm awake, she's sleeping, and when she's sleeping, I'm awake. So hopefully whenever the baby needs to be fed or changed or whatever the situation is, hopefully one of us will always be awake to do that, Ellen. But it's a work in progress. We're trying to figure it out as we go. Thank you. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Answering your questions on any subject. Let me say hello to Jeannie in Queens. Hello, Jeannie.
Hello. How are you? So nice to hear your voice.
Thank you, Jeannie.
Okay, my question is, there's a proposed amendment on the mayoral ballot, and I wonder if you could tell me or everyone listening the pros and cons of this. It says this proposed constitutional amendment would freeze the number of state senators at 63. And it goes on to talk about redistricting and so forth. But how could we have 63? If we have 50 states, don't we have 100 senators?
Well, no, this is for just New York state senators, not federal senators.
Okay. I see. Well, is there anything good or bad about it, though?
I don't think so. I tend to think that aspect of it is good, because what would happen usually is, the way it works now is the number of state senators in New York is not fixed in the New York state constitution. They could make the number whatever they want. So when the state Senate Republicans were in charge, they would always add a senator and carve it out out of a Republican district so that they would take their narrow majority and ensure that they still had a one or two seat cushion. Now that the right. Democrats are in charge, they could do the same thing, but this amendment would actually stop them from doing so. The only, potential drawback is if the population of New York State explodes upward, maybe 63 senators wouldn't be a sufficient amount for the workload, but that doesn't appear to be happening. So I don't have an issue with that aspect of it. The other aspect of that particular amendment seems pretty innocuous. I think it just sort of alters the calendar by which the independent redistricting has to give their proposed district lines to the state legislature. So I will spend a little bit more time on all three ballot questions as we get closer to the election and let people know not only my take, but the pros and the cons. But that, of all three questions that are on the ballot this year, that one seems to be probably the least controversial.
Okay. Actually, there's five amendments on here, but that's okay.
All right. Well, there's only three proposed constitutional amendments, though.
Oh, I see. Constitutional amendments.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeannie. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Leo is in Manhattan. Hello, Leo.
Hello, Frank. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you for
asking. I wanted to ask you, did you see in your view the original version of I Am Cuba? Was made somewhere in 65, 64.
The film is I Am Cuba?
I
Am Cuba?
Black and white documentary about Cuba.
No, I've never seen it.
You should see it. It's something. I study art in Prague, and we have it as a sample in a school of black and white movie. You can stop the movie at the moment if you would have shot 5 minutes apart, you can put it as a black and white show in a gallery of black and white pictures, and all of them would be like top of the line. Real amazing camera job. See it. I Am Cuba from 65. They supposedly redone it just recently, the Americans.
Yeah, I will put it on my list. I'm not familiar with it, Leo, but I just wrote it down. I will check it out. So 800-848-WABC, if you have a question about anything, I am ready to try my best to answer it. Pete is in Piscataway. It's that-a-way. Hello, Pete.
Hi, Frank. We know your best episode is Star Trek. What is the worst episode of Star Trek you've seen from the original series?
Well, so there are a number of original series episodes that are pretty campy, and I tend to give them a pass, because even the ones that are bad of the original series are still somewhat charming. There's very few of those original 79 episodes that I don't enjoy at least a little bit. And they were doing something that was so groundbreaking and so different. They did a lot of those episodes that were all almost the same, which is they go to a planet that's exactly like Earth, except for one thing. Those got a little tiresome. But if I had to pick the worst episode of the original series, I think it would be one of two. It would either be the episode Spock's Brain, where they steal Spock's brain. That one has very few redeeming values. And the one that's, again, it's somewhat charming, but it's just so weird and out of place, is the episode with Abraham Lincoln. I think it's called The Savage Curtain. I mean, it's tough to explain Abraham Lincoln after he's assassinated hanging out in the 23rd century.
Well, I didn't like The Lights of Zetar. That's pretty bad, too.
Remind me which one that was.
Oh, Scotty's in love with some engineer.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that one. That was okay. You know, again, there were a lot of ones in that original series that were a little campy. That one was okay. That whole third season is a little weak. That's the season that we got Spock's brain, and that's the episode of the Lights of Zetar was in the original series as well. But yeah.
They cut the budget, and Gene Roddenberry stepped away from being executive producer. Advisor producer, basically.
That's right. That's absolutely right. So they they moved their time slot as well. So that third season was a little rough. 800-848-WABC, answering your questions on any subject. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let me say hello to Jessica in Riverhead. Hello, Jessica.
Hey, Frank. How are you? you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Do you remember me from the contest?
I do, absolutely. It's great to talk to you again.
Yes, you too. I'm actually sitting on my break again from the hospital. I'm with one of my friends.
Oh, wonderful.
I was telling her about your show, and she wants advice. She's a medical technologist, a.k.a. scientist, that works with me, and she's switching jobs right now, and she doesn't know if she should do it.
Well, what is she considering switching jobs to?
Here, I'm going to put her on.
Yeah, put her on. What's your name?
Hi.
How you doing? What's your name? Alice?
Alex, yeah.
Alex. Okay, great. Okay. So, Alex, tell me, why are you leaving your current job, and what are you thinking of switching careers to?
Well, no, keeping the same career, just working at a different hospital.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, I had some... I guess difficulties with other employee, and my supervisors didn't want to back me up on it. So that's what was part of my decision on leaving. But now tonight's my last night, and I'm getting cold feet.
Oh,
I'm thinking it's the wrong decision, because I like where I work and what I do here, but the new hospital is going to be very different.
So is the new hospital? So are both jobs about equal in terms of salary and benefits?
I get better pay and benefits at the new place.
And what's the story in terms of location? How does this new position affect your commute?
So my new position is 10 minutes from my house, and the current one is 20-25 minutes.
All right, so we have more money, less time to get to work. And I mean, look, I hate to separate you from people like Jessica, but it seems like your instincts in terms of what led you to consider leaving your current job were probably the right ones. And you might be getting a little nostalgic for leaving some of your coworkers and leaving some of the things. But it sounds like a great opportunity. And I have a feeling that that once you get situated at this new hospital, that that you're going to make a whole group of friends and acquaintances that that you'll really value. And hopefully you'll have some supervisors and some other colleagues that value your contributions more than your current employer. So, look, I don't want to without knowing all the details, I don't want to tell you definitively, but based on what you're telling me, I think you're probably making the right move.
I agree with you, Frank. Jessica agrees. And Frank, I just want to let you know, congratulations on the baby, but I was just listening to one of the callers that said something about a pillow, like a little pillow that you put in a crib. Do not ever put a pillow in a crib, just to give you some advice.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, my wife's aware of that, but I think she was talking about a pillow for me, not necessarily the baby.
Right. Okay. I just wanted to make that clear. Don't ever do that. But congratulations on your pregnancy.
Thank you, Jessica. And please thank Alex for me as well. You got to recruit her as a regular listener. And if the new job is not going to allow her to listen, then I'll take back my answer and she should stay working with you.
All right, Frank.
All right, ladies. Have fun at work. Don't get into too much trouble. 800-848-WABC, answering your questions on any subject. Let me take a quick break, and then we have three open lines if you want to jump on board. Now's the time, answering your questions on any subject. 800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.
77 WABC, All-American.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
Round, round, get around, I get around. Yeah, get around, round, round, I get around. I get around.
The Beach Boys, that is a Matt Sapienza selection. It's Friday. This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Moreno with you until 5 o'clock in the morning. Coming up at 3:30, we're going to talk with Steve Adubato. At 2 o'clock, Curtis Lee was going to be here, as is my brother-in-law, Josh O'Brien. We're going to talk YouTube censorship. We're going to talk astrology and a variety of other subjects. But for now, we are taking your questions as we do each and every Friday, because it's time for...
The Other Side of Midnight proudly presents Ask Frank.
Ask Frank Anything.
Ask Frank Anything.
Ask Frank Anything.
Ask Frank Anything.
The 1-800-848-9222, whatever you have questions about, I am going to do my best to try to answer them. Let me say hello to Ted in Forest Hills. Hello, Ted.
Hi, always my pleasure.
Thank you.
What's the highest medal for bravery in the armed forces called?
I would assume it was called the Medal of Honor.
The Medal of Honor of Congress.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry if I left out the of Congress portion of it, but I'm glad I got the first part of that right. Thank you, Ted. 800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. John is in Yonkers. Hello, John.
Yes, good morning, Frank. I have a double-barrel question. The first part is, do you think the majority of your listeners know all the humanitarian work that Curtis Sliwa does with regard to the sheltering animals and helping the homeless well before he ran for mayor, and that he continued to do through the coronavirus pandemic? And also the organizational skills that it took to run the Guardian Angels to keep the citizens of New York safe and all the other work.
I mean, look, obviously I can't speak to anyone else's level of knowledge, John, but I would guess that most of the listeners of this radio station, since Curtis Sliwa was on WABC for so many years and was not exactly reluctant to share the kinds of things that he was doing, I would venture to say that, yes, a majority of them do know about the incredible work that Curtis Sliwa has done long before he was a mayoral candidate. So I'm going to guess, but I'm going to say yes. 800-848-9222. Gene is in Queens. Hello, Gene. Gene?
If this is Gene from the Bronx.
Oh, Gene from the Bronx. I'm sorry. It says Queens. But
okay.
Wherever you are, Gene, we're happy to have you.
My pleasure, Mr. Renato. I'm very glad to meet you for the first time.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask a question about Curtis Sliwa. I've heard about him in the past. I live in the Bronx. He's done a lot of work for the people. I understand this. But I'm just trying to find out, if you know, what is his educational background?
He did not finish high school and never went to college. So he has some high school, but that's it. That's it in terms of organized education. But I have to tell you, I think the education that he's gotten on the streets and in preparing for a radio show the other day has given him a much more well-rounded educational and policy perspective overall than most people I've ever encountered. There's not really a single policy issue that you could throw at him that he's not at least something of an expert in, because even though he never graduated high school, he does have sort of an insatiable appetite for learning. So his formal education never went past high school.
May I ask a question? Which high school did he go to?
I believe he went to Fordham Prep, which is no longer in existence, from what I understand.
Yeah, well, I think that was that part of Fordham University.
No, it was near there, though. I'll double check when he calls in at 2. But
why? I went to Roosevelt High School, which is in that area, and I guess he has an aptitude, but he just didn't feel like.
Yeah, well, he got thrown out for making an issue of school uniforms. He was very opposed to school uniforms, and he sort of rallied and led some protests against school uniforms. And then at that point, just decided to start working. And then ultimately started the Rock Brigade, which became the Magnificent 13, which then became the Guardian Angels. And that's sort of what he's been doing since then. 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Mary is on Long Island. Hello, Mary.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
excuse me, Frank. I have a question. You are a native New Yorker, correct?
Correct.
You do not seem to have the traditional New York accent. Did you train your voice as part of, you know, becoming interested in working on the radio, or do you just not have a New York accent?
Well, that's a good question, Mary. So the answer is I've never consciously trained my voice, and I've looked at some video of me when I was first starting in television when I was 16 or 17, and I do have more of a pronounced New York accent. So I don't know if subconsciously it's the kind of thing that I made an effort but subconsciously it's something that sort of went away, but I don't know. I do think if you get me in a room with other New Yorkers, particularly after I have three or four drinks, maybe my New York accent is a little bit more pronounced. But I've never consciously made an effort to have more or less of an accent than I do now. It's just the way that it is. That it's worked out for me, I guess.
And that's interesting. And do you know where accents come from? Because we have so many different accents in the United States, and I guess other countries do as well.
You know, it's funny. I actually did a whole segment on the New York accent with a documentary filmmaker named Heather Quinlan. And she did a terrific documentary called If These Knishes Could Talk, The Story of the New York Accent. And we spoke about accents in general. I don't pretend to have her expertise, but I will tell you, I'll invite her back on the show because she's an interesting guest, and maybe we'll cover that. Maybe we'll do that in the next week or two.
Oh, that's great.
Thank you for the interest, though, Mary. Appreciate it. 800-848-WABC. Let me say hello to Bill in Huntington. Hello, Bill.
Okay. 16 years ago, my mother died, and I went to vote about 5 years later, and I saw, and they still had the voter rolls on sheets of paper in a loose leaf notebook, and I looked down and I saw my mother's name still there. All right, and I was executor of the estate, and I left the estate open. Can I call the election board and make them take her name off?
Yes. And she's registered in Suffolk County?
She was.
Yeah. So if you send them a copy of the death certificate, either by email or by snail mail or fax, and they will remove her from the voter rolls. All right, Bill. Glad to help. 800-848-WABC, answering your questions about any subject. 1-800-848-9222. Let me say hello to John in Yonkers. Hello, John.
Yes. Hi, Frank. I wanted to ask you, did you ever change, like, your representation of the sports teams that you root for based upon the person or the company that you're with?
Well, I'm not sure I understand the question.
If you're with like five Yankee fans and you're a Met fan, would you ever say, like, hold off that you're a Met fan?
No, I would never do that. The only times that that I ever really rooted for the Yankees, I've always been a Met fan, and people always know I'm a Met fan. I went with my dad, who's a Yankee fan, to game one of the World Series the year that they played the Padres. And I sort of pretended to root for the Yankees that year because it was exciting to be at the ballpark at the World Series game. And so I clapped when the Yankees did well. That's the only time that I really ever did that. And then after September 11th, I thought it would be such a nice thing, given what New York had been through, if we got to have a World Series championship parade down the Canyon of Heroes. So that I rooted for the Yankees in that World Series after they played when they played Arizona. But other than that, no, I always root against the Yankees generally.
How about in a business setting?
No, I mean, look, but no, my teams are my teams. I always root for the Mets when it comes to baseball. When it comes to football, I tend to root for both the Giants and the Jets, but I don't get crazy with my affiliation with either team that I like I do with baseball. I don't have, you know, I guess, and when it comes to basketball, I'm not the biggest basketball fan. I'm maybe marginally a Knicks fan, and I don't have much interest in hockey either. So, but no, I would never change based on who I'm around, John.
All right. Thanks, Frank.
Thank you, John. 800-848-WABC. Let me say hello to you, Carol. Carol, how are you doing?
How are you? Are you feeling better?
Yeah, I'm getting there, Carol. I have not been feeling bad. I mean, I just had this annoying cough, but so far today, I don't think I've coughed at all yet. But Carol, before we get to your question, I want to thank you for your very nice call to Mayor Rudy Giuliani yesterday. If people didn't get a chance to hear that, this was Carol calling Mayor Rudy Giuliani's show yesterday afternoon.
But I was also calling you about your interview with Frank Milano last night because I listened to him, and I thought you were fantastic. I loved hearing about your inner circle performances. I really like that.
I love Frank. I used to listen to Frank long before, you know, before I was on WABC because I'm a late nighter, so sometimes I get tired of watching Hannity for the third time. or Tucker or whatever, or Laura, or so I listen to Frank, and he's very, very good. He's a very good interview, and he brings a lot of personal stuff out that, you know, you don't have time for, like on a 1 hour show like this where we have to be, you know, we got to be within certain measures. Yeah, you got to be quick with these subjects, and some of them require more. But thanks, Carol. Thank you very, very much.
So, Carol, before I get to your question, I hear you calling Bernie and Sid as I'm driving home. I hear you calling Rita Cosby and Dominic Carter as I'm driving in. And then I hear you calling Rudy Giuliani when I'm home. When do you sleep, Carol? How do you call every single radio show that the station has?
Well, you know, I do sleep earlier. I take naps during the day, and I sleep earlier. But I didn't get on with Dominic tonight. He didn't take my call, so.
Well, I mean, he asked me about it. I told him that that I was your favorite, and I think he resented that a little bit. But it's okay, Carol. Carol, what was your question?
I wanted to ask you if your brother-in-law is going to be taking phone calls.
Why not? He's here. Yeah. Why not? So we'll certainly do that.
I don't want to call up again because I don't want to take time away from people. But I wanted to speak with him about astrology. I'm a Sagittarian, and my birthday is December 13th. So maybe he can possibly address that for me.
I will talk to him about it, Carol. Absolutely. Happy to ask him. 800-848-WABC, answering your questions on any subject. Let me say hello to Mark in Millburn, New Jersey. Hello, Mark.
Hey, what's up, Frank? How you doing?
Doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, we're paving over here in Millburn, the middle of Millburn, paving the road over here.
Great. Well, thank you for your service.
I just want to ask you a question about the political forum. I listen to WABC. I work nights sometimes, not all the time, paving roads, but I drive the dump truck, so I listen to the radio, and I just can't listen to it anymore. You know, now it's the Biden, 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 Biden. And listen, I'm a conservative. I'm a Trumpster somewhat, and I love you guys. But I just, like, every news program, I just, like, do you ever just get sick and tired of talking about it? And I heard it. I'm an ex-alcoholic and a born-again Christian, and I always listen to this one terminology in AA, live in the solution, not the problem. And it just seems like every newscaster were always just propaganda, what somebody did. What I just wish they would bring the politicians on there and say, what's the solution? That's all we want to hear. Because it, just think about it. If you had a therapy session like that with a husband and a wife, let's just talk about the problem. No. Let's talk about the solution. That's
All right, Mark.
Just a great analogy.
I don't know if that was much of a question, but the first part of your question is, yes, I do get sick of it. I was talking about this with John Gambling this week when he was on the program. If you didn't get to hear my discussion with John Gambling, I do hope you'll go back and listen to the podcast, fmwabc.com. And I get sick of it because it's a little monotonous. It's sort of the left-wing shows repeat all the same talking points bashing the right. The right-wing shows kind of repeat all the same talking points bashing the left. So, yeah, that's one of the reasons that I try and do a lot of subjects and a lot of things other than politics. And as far as your point about the lack of solution-based programming, I would tend to agree with you on that one as well. 800-848-WABC, answering your questions about any subject. Dave is in Manhattan. Hello, Dave. What's your question?
Good morrow, Frank. Frank, I used to spend every summer up until the age of 18 in the Catskill Mountains in Sullivan County, right up the road from the current location of the Resorts World Catskills Casino. It's been many years since I've been there. I'm thinking of taking a drive up, trip down memory lane. I've never been to the casino. I'd like to go maybe spend a night or two there. Would you be kind enough to give me a scouting report on Resorts World Catskills, please?
Well, I liked it. I was only there once. I was there for, I spent the night there, played there. I liked a lot of the games. I didn't find it was too crowded. I got to play all the games that I wanted, played a little craps. I played some baccarat. They have sports betting now. They have a bar, which is a lot of fun. The bar offers video poker. They have a couple of restaurants there, which are pretty good. They have an Italian-style steakhouse, which I didn't get to, but some friends went to, they enjoyed, and I went to the Japanese place, which I thought it was very good. So it is interesting. They have sort of two hotels. There's a hotel in the same building as the casino, and then there's an adjacent hotel that's about, 100-foot, maybe 150-foot walk from the building the casino is in. So I would just encourage you, because I got stuck in the rain, actually, walking in between the two buildings, to avoid that, maybe make an effort to stay in the main building, not the adjacent one. But again, it was my only time there, but I would definitely go back. I liked it a lot. And, I don't know if he wants me outing him, but Dominic Carter, that's where he goes. He plays over at Resorts World. Ooh. And I invite Dominic to Atlantic City with me all the time. And Dominic always says, no. I'm going to go to Resorts World right over by me. And, you can't argue with it. And the most important thing as far as I was concerned is I think I won 1,800 or 1,500 there when I was there. Mm. So, I got lucky, had fun, wasn't too crowded, had no problems there.
Well, I know if I throw Dominic's name around, I suspect they'll comp me all over.
I think you're right. Maybe you'll see him out there, Dave. Maybe you'll see him. 800-848-WABC. I am trying to answer your questions on any subject. Eddie is in Nassau County. Hello, Eddie.
Yes. Good morrow, Frank. Congratulations on your 1-year anniversary for being at the helm of late night radio.
Very nice of you. Thank you, Eddie.
I thank you, but I just want to ask you one question. Was there ever any response from the FISA judges when they finally realized that they were Obama-boozled by the FBI and the Democratic Party?
It's interesting. The FISA court is seemingly answerable to almost at nobody. And that there is no transparency. And there's one problem with the FISA courts just as much as the other federal courts, and that there are no cameras in the courtroom. We should be able to see, and I recognize the FISA courts are in a little bit of a different situation because they deal with a lot of heavy duty intelligence stuff and a lot of things having to do with espionage and foreign governments. So maybe you can't have the same degree of transparency that you have in the other federal courts. But no, I haven't seen any response at all from the FISA courts, either with respect to the Russia probe or anything else that they've been doing, which, in my view, they tend to just grant these requests for FISA warrants basically just to anybody that asks. So I haven't seen any response in terms of kind of backtracking on their earlier mistakes there. I haven't seen anything. Doesn't mean it's not there, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Frank, and have a great night.
Thank you, Eddie. Appreciate it very much. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. I am answering your questions about any subject. There's now five open lines if you want to jump on board. And I will encourage you, if you haven't done so already, to please try Life Change Tea. This is a tea I drink every day. It is a tea that is specifically blended with a powerful herbal proprietary formula that can give you more energy without caffeine. It also tastes great. There are no fillers, no GMOs. It's completely organic and a mild cleanse, a daily detox that cleanses you from the inside out. That's why their slogan is the tea that makes you go. I drink it. I suspect if you try it, you'll like it as much as I do. I prefer the pomegranate, but whatever your flavor preference is, you'll find you have improved digestive health. You'll find you have better energy levels, and you find you have no difficulty being regular. Go to Life Change Tea, go to getthetea.com, and whether you order the Life Change Tea or any of the other supplements on there, you will be able to get free shipping anywhere in the United States if you use the promo code Frank. GetTheTea.com, promo code Frank. A great product at a great price.
You're hearing things on 77 WABC.
This is the other side of midnight. I'm Frank Moreno. We are answering your questions on any subject at 1-800-848-WABC. You have questions about motion pictures, television, radio, local politics, cinema, gambling, Star Trek, pro wrestling, aliens, anything else. Now's the time. 1-800-848-9222. We are doing for the hour A.
The Other Side of Midnight proudly presents Ask Frank.
Ask Frank Anything.
Ask Frank Anything.
Ask Frank Anything.
Ask Frank Anything.
Doing my best to answer your questions on any subject. Let me say hello to Ray in Raritan. Hello, Ray.
Hey, how you doing, Frank? I love your show tonight. Good show.
Thank you.
I want to ask you. I was listening to another station.
How dare you?
Called, well, it was on a different subject. Let's put it that way. And anyways, the host called people that live down south Confederates and good old boys. And I took offense to that because I have family down south, and they're not. You know, what is a Confederate? If you call somebody a Confederate, so I called this call screener, and he stuck up for the guy. And I said it was almost like a racial slur, and he got kind of mad at me. And what do you think? Is that like almost a racial slur, or what do you think?
I would never say that about people that live in the South. There's great people that live in the South,
Yeah. And
you shouldn't try to besmirch an entire region based on behavior that occurred 150 years ago. That's number one. Number two,
right.
As a general rule, Ray, I try not to get too worked up or too offended about what somebody says on the radio. And again, I don't know the show that you were listening to. I don't want you to mention the host. But
no. You
got to keep in mind, these are folks that have 3, 4, 5 hours to fill just based on speaking extemporaneously on what's in their head and their interactions with callers. So, of course, they're going to say dopey things sometimes, either because they think it's funny or because they're just not thinking through the ramifications of their actions. I don't think it's worth getting offended over. But personally, Ray, and I don't blame you for being upset, but personally, I think the list of things that's worth getting genuinely offended over is pretty short. I think if you, you know, or you're an interracial couple and you walk into a restaurant and they won't serve you, then that's something that's worthy of being offended by. If you're, you know, whatever ethnicity and somebody spits on you and calls you, you dirty blank, I think that's worthy of being offended. But I think, you know, for something that sounds like it was maybe just done in poor taste, I wouldn't waste too much energy getting worked up over it, Ray. 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Greg is in New Jersey. Hello, Greg.
Frank, if you had, if you were reincarnated, had to choose between a rock and roll star or a movie star, what would it be?
Well, first of all, why do I have to be reincarnated? I'd like to think both of those are still career options that are available to me. I would say if I had to pick between those two, Greg, I would probably pick movie star, just because, I don't know, I feel like that's an area that I can more relate to than the area of rock music. Also, the music at these concerts is so loud, especially as a performer, that I really wouldn't want to jeopardize my hearing as a rock and roll star. But it's a good question, Greg. Tom is in New Jersey. Tom, what's your question?
How do you feel about Kathy Hochul using the church to get people vaccinated?
I thought her comments the other day on invoking God to get people vaccinated and calling other people her apostles, I thought it was ridiculous. I thought it was absolutely absurd. I thought it was nuts, quite frankly. Again, I'm vaccinated, and I would hope people get vaccinated, particularly if they're in an at-risk category. But I thought it was nuts. I thought it was absolutely ludicrous, personally. 800-848-9222. Let me say hello to Mike in New Jersey. Hello, Mike.
Good morning, Frank. Frank, thank you for a year of great radio. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And my question is, the hospital that you and your wife are affiliated with in regard to the birth of your child, did they require you to do any natural childbirthing classes?
No, they haven't. Not that I'm aware of. We have a series of online video classes, which we're in the process of watching. But no natural childbirth classes, as far as I'm aware, Mike.
Okay, I was just curious.
All right,
one more question.
Go ahead.
Since you brought it up earlier, what is your favorite color?
I think it's pink. I mean, I have different colors for different things, but in terms of clothing, I really like a good pink shirt. I really like pink. Like a light pink might be my favorite color, honestly. I think that might be it.
Okay.
I also like gray. You know, I used to be more geared towards black, especially in terms of clothing. But, you know, I have scalp psoriasis, and thanks for the call, Mike. I have scalp psoriasis, so whenever I wear dark clothing, my shoulders are covered in snow because my scalp is flaking often, even when I, you know, put on this medication. By the way, I am doing this National Psoriasis Foundation walk on Sunday in the Bronx. If anybody wants to walk with me, you can go to npf.org and you can just type in my name and search me as a walker. I think that's the website. No, it's not. That's not it. It's I'll get you the website, but I have a link to it on my Facebook page. So if you want to make a donation, you can go to facebook.com/MoranoFan. That's facebook.com/MoranoFan. Or you can, I think you could search psoriasis.org. I think I'm on there as well. But the easiest way to get it is just the link that's on my Facebook page at facebook.com/MoranoFan. So I like gray in terms of clothing. I like pink in terms of clothing. That's where I'd say my preferences lie. Let me say hello to Kenneth in Westchester. Hello, Kenneth.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm actually Frank, but I'm still doing okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
It's okay.
Okay, Frank.
Yeah, I guess you heard my question regarding lottery, have you?
I did not hear it. Go ahead.
Oh, well, the question was, my thing is, if you're from another country and you come and hit the lottery, you should be taxed on a different bracket as opposed to those who was born and raised in this country. Do you agree with that?
Well, so let's say I'm visiting from Canada or Italy, and then I come to New York, I hit the New York State Lotto, or I win the Powerball right. in New York. You want to charge the foreigner a higher rate?
Right. So if you came to the country illegally, and let's just say you play a lottery and you hit, you should be taxed differently.
Well,
I think you should be taxed the same as opposed to same as, you know, those who were born and raised here.
I'd want to think about that a little bit, but I don't think I agree. And here's why, Kenneth. I believe me, and I'm all for giving Americans the advantage when it comes to this stuff. But if you come here from Canada or whatever other country, you play lottery regularly, then that means you're voluntarily, most of the time, you're voluntarily paying a tax that we use to help fund our schools in New York and doing things. So we're benefiting from those people buying lottery tickets that we use to upkeep New York's state services and American services. So if they're going to make the choice to give us the money, then I don't think they should be taxed differently. I think they should be taxed at the same rate we are.
Okay, Frank, I just wanted your opinion. It makes a lot of sense what you just said. I never thought about that.
Well, I appreciate the question, Kenneth. And thank you for the call. With the Powerball jackpot at over $600 million, I am buying a ticket today. I am definitely doing that. Hopefully I'll go to Atlantic City tonight, too, for Harry Hurley's charity event. So I am looking forward to that. I got an email question here. This person keeps emailing this, so he doesn't give his name. So I'll do my best to answer it. Do you agree that the placement of campaign signs along sidewalks and roadways instead of private lawns shows a disregard for the residents who use those public spaces? Yes, I would agree with that. And do you find it ugly and hypocritical since it generates so much garbage and these politicians know they're breaking the law to do it? Well, a lot of the time, and I don't approve of illegal campaign signs, but a lot of the time, and I've seen this in just about every campaign I've ever been involved in, the people who put up those illegal campaign signs, they don't know the rules sometimes. And a lot of times the candidate himself or herself, they're not the ones directing that placement of the campaign sign. So, you know, I don't always hold the candidate culpable for what an enthusiastic volunteer might be doing. 800-848-9222. Let me say hello to Rich in Suffolk County. Hello, Rich.
Hello, Frank. Frank, a question on the Judge Roberts and the Supreme Court. Don't they oversee the FISA court?
Well, yes and no. The FISA court is set up specifically by Congress, and they are kind of, you know, they're kind of their own entity. But the Supreme Court, they're the top court in all the country. So the FISA court, it's not as if they report to the Supreme Court, but the Supreme Court's they're the top judges in the whole country.
Yeah, just because when you see all the lying that was done to the FISA court, no one's held
accountable. Right. Yeah, I agree. We talked about that earlier when you called. Michael is on the east side. Hello, Michael.
Yes, Frank. If you went to Indianapolis and wanted to eat some fish, would you eat salmon and cut it with a knife, even though maybe somebody from Brooklyn wouldn't like that?
Well, Michael, I think you're mocking the way that I pronounce the word salmon, and I don't blame you. A valiant attempt at humor, but an unsuccessful one nonetheless. Let me say hello to Vinny on Staten Island. Hello, Vinny.
Hey, Frank. I want to ask you, I want to give you a perspective on what you think about aliens. How about that we are the higher intelligence in the universe, and we decided to take an incarnation in a human body to go through the tests and challenges of being a human being so we can remember and get back to our higher intelligence?
Vinny, I think you lost me, actually. I'm not sure I follow.
I'm saying We are the aliens of the universe. We are the higher intelligence. All of us, all these people on the planet, are the higher intelligence of the universe. We decided to take birth in a human body so we can go through the tests and challenges of a human life to get back to our awareness of our higher intelligence.
Vinny, above my pay grade. I don't know anything about that, unfortunately. All right. Curtis Lewa is calling in with a little bit of breaking news, and my brother-in-law Josh is here. We'll talk astrology, YouTube censorship, vaccines, and more. 800-848-9222 if you want to talk to him about astrology. Until next hour, help control the pet population. Make sure you get your dog or cat spayed or neutered.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. Thank God it's Frank. You're listening to The Other Side of Midnight. You know, there's a story I saw last night that just made me scratch my head and curl my hair. It was a story of really just a disgusting story. It was in the New York Post, the version of it that I saw, but I'm sure it's been picked up elsewhere. 20 dogs were rescued from deplorable conditions in a New York City apartment. 20 pooches were rescued yesterday from the deplorable conditions where the dog excrement leaked through the ceiling into a child's bedroom. And then ultimately, two people were arrested by the police and taken from this second floor apartment in East Flatbush. And they were charged with 20 counts of torturing animals, 20 counts of neglect of impounded animals, 2 counts of acting injurious to a child, and 1 count of criminal mischief. Well, moments before the show, there was a shocking update on that story that was brought to our attention by the Republican and Independent Party nominee for mayor. And we have a little bit of breaking news that we'll bring to you now.
The Other Side of Midnight proudly presents Breaking News.
Curtis Lewa joins us from outside this East Flatbush apartment right now. Curtis, good morning. Thanks for bringing this story to our attention. But tell people, what is the latest on this? What exactly happened after these two people, Rayvon Sevis and Tafaniel Mashoud, were arrested?
Well, they got arrested. They were given a desk appearance ticket, a DAT, released. And naturally, they came right back to the apartment. And this time, they sought vengeance on the woman and her husband, who are the landlords, got beaten viciously for turning in these people who were raising these dogs illegally and torturing them. And they're just returning from Brookdale Hospital, where they had to go to have their injuries tended to. They received stitches. And the individuals have been arrested again. A whole gang came, a family gang, and decided to seek revenge for the arrest. But this is all due to the no bail law. Criminals get arrested, just get released into the streets. So if you're a good citizen and you're trying to participate in locking up the people who, in this case, are torturing animals, torturing dogs, and running an illegal breeding operation, this is what you get in return for being a good Samaritan, for helping out. You get attacked yourself.
And so, just so everybody,
and watch everybody here this evening.
So just so everybody's clear on the chronology of events, so these two people torture animals. They're reported to the cops by the people that live in the adjacent apartment. They're arrested. The cops, you know, do the right thing. They're let go within the same day. And the first thing they do with, as soon as they're released from jail, is they go and beat up the very people that pressed charges and reported them to the cops.
That is correct. Only to get rearrested, and we anticipate to be released in the morning.
Unbelievable.
The turnstile justice system is functioning, well-oiled, well-greased, and you have a DA here in Brooklyn who is working so hard. He was at a breakfast earlier today with the Democratic leadership from Kings County. They were all downtown. They were all talking about what a great job they're all doing. And, like, what is he doing? What are the rest of the DAs doing that they're allowing these criminals not only to commit their initial crimes, but then not charging them with anything significant so that they could just get released with a desk appearance ticket, or as I call it, disappearance ticket, only to come back and seek vengeance? So who the hell, Frank, is going to participate and either be a witness or a confidential informant, or come forward and give testimony in a grand jury hearing or an evidentiary hearing, knowing that the individuals responsible are just going to be released into the streets and will come back and with impunity attack those that are critical to making sure the criminal justice system works. It's a complete outrage. And here it is. I'm running for mayor in the city of New York, and I have to sit outside of the house as the woman is returning to make sure that she's not attacked again.
Yeah, and this woman, Kenesha Gilbert, who showed the video of the dogs to begin with, she actually just tweeted about a half hour ago. She said, Curtis Lewa is outside my house standing guard as I'm being treated in the ER. Says a lot about his character. Thank you. I'd certainly agree with that. But, Curtis, obviously the bail law, the cashless bail law, that's a state law. And as mayor, you'd be kind of in the same position to deal with the state law as it is. What would be different if there was a Mayor Curtis Lewa as opposed to a Mayor Bill de Blasio?
I'd be outside of this house as mayor. And as you know, wherever the mayor goes, the media follows. And it would be so embarrassing for the elected officials, particularly in this East Flatbush area, state officials who are in support of that. You put the pressure on them. You say, is this what you anticipated from a no bail law? Do you have any justification for why dangerous criminals are being released into the streets? You know, Frank, oftentimes people don't care when people attack one another. They actually rise to the occasion when they see animals being tortured, animals being kicked, animals being abused, animals being caged. And so that's what it takes. You have to hit that emotional cord. But this mayor, Mayor de Blasio, you saw what he did yesterday. His 16-year-olds were being shot all throughout Brooklyn and the Bronx. He was introducing a greeters program into the precincts. So like when you go to Walmart's and there's a greeter there telling you, how can I help you? That's his answer to high crime in the city.
I saw that.
Walmart greeters.
I saw that. Yeah, of all the problems with the NYPD, a lack of greeters at the precinct, it was not high up on a lot of people's list.
No. Frank, excuse me. I have actually Kenesha here. Would you like to speak
please
to her momentarily?
Absolutely.
Just come out of the hospital. Hold on.
Hello, this is Kenesha Gilbert.
Hi, Ms. Gilbert. Thank you for taking the time to chat with us. How are you? How are you feeling? What's the nature of your injuries?
I was beat with a windshield wiper that they broke off the back of my car. I was beaten by two men, actually a man and a boy. One of them was the one that was arrested earlier today, and the second person, a young boy, son of the original tenant that I rented to, and after they were done with me, the three sons piled into the car. They opened the car door and beat my husband. He looks like he's been in a boxing match on the losing end. And as I tried to call 911, the mother cornered me on the neighbor's property, punched and slapped my face. I've got a busted lip with stitches in it. I've got a contusion on my face and bruises on my face from where he hit me with a windshield wiper.
Unbelievable.
My husband is getting a CT scan for ruling out facial fractures. He's in a lot of pain. He's very swollen. He doesn't look like himself. I feel completely let down. I'm completely defeated because this should not have come to this. I've been reporting it since February, and it wasn't until I started posting on Facebook and Twitter, and it got traction, and other people got involved, that they came to do something about the dogs. I have no regrets. I did what was right. I have no regrets, and I'll do it again. And the city needs to step up for law-abiding citizens. There's no place in New York for me anymore. I moved back from Arizona to serve this city. This is where I did my residency. This is where I moved to when I came from Grenada. I was born in a third world country, and I've never been treated like this ever in my life. I serve every day. I don't call out from work. I treat my patients with kindness and respect. I deliver life every day, and I come home from a 12-hour shift. I'm ambushed in front of my driveway and on my property. There was a police car when I got here. The mother, the tenant, she was speaking to him on the sidewalk facing side. I approached from the street facing side. I said, "May I speak to you, please, sir?" He rolled up his window and he drove out. Before he got to the end of the block, I was getting punches raining down on my face and my head. This is not right. It's not right. I will not stand for it.
Well, Kanisha, first of all, I'm glad that you're okay, at least okay enough to be released from the hospital. Just so folks understand with what happened, the brutal attack that you and your husband were subjected to. How long approximately did that attack take place after the initial arrest of these dog torturers?
They were arrested this morning, probably at about between 11, maybe 11:30. I arrived home at about 9:20, and within minutes of arriving home, I was parked on the street because the police were initially parked in front of my driveway. I couldn't turn in. And they left me there to be beaten by criminals that had already been arrested and let out to come back and torment me. My two kids, a 5- and a 10-year-old, were in the house and viewing their mother and their father getting beaten and thrown to the ground by criminals. That's what they are, criminals.
So less than 10 hours after they were arrested for this animal torture, they were in a position to beat you and your husband.
That is correct.
That's amazing. What was the reaction of the police when they came back to arrest these people a second time?
They were shocked, honestly. It wasn't the same people that I had seen in the car, but they were shocked that someone, a man, would do this to a woman, and a woman would allow her children to engage in this behavior.
Well, I think unfortunately this is par for the course in what goes on in New York City these days, and I'm sorry that as you came here from Arizona that the city has treated you so poorly. Thank you for being such a good New Yorker and for reporting this kind of animal abuse when you see it, and I hope things get better not only for you but for our city, Kanisha.
Thank you,
Kanisha Gilbert. Along with Curtis Lewa in East Flatbush, where if you're just tuning in, there was an incident where there were 20 dogs being tortured. Kanisha reported this abuse to the police. These animal abusers were arrested. They were promptly released. First thing they did upon being released, beat up the people that reported them to the cops. This is the New York we're living in these days. Curtis Lewa, do I have you back?
Yes, you do. And you see, you're getting this live from a victim of a crime who came and tried to help. And where is Eric Gonzalez, the DA? He's probably at home sleeping. The police who left the scene and left her, as she described to you, you have the exclusive here, Frank, of being beaten, her and her husband, in front of her children. And what are citizens to do when they see situations like this? We're in Brooklyn. Who's the borough president, Frank?
He's been seen in Monaco more often than Brooklyn these days. So a lot of people would be forgiven if they don't know that it's Eric Adams. It's a sad situation. I appreciate you bringing this to our attention. So is your plan now, Curtis, to stay out there for the night?
Absolutely, because you know the gang's going to come back, Frank. You know, I live this life. I'm in the streets. I understand what vengeance is like, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And if the mayor and the city is not going to let the police do their job, you're going to see more actions like this occurring. And I will stand between them and their victims and make sure it doesn't occur if the city itself is going to abandon our participants who are trying to maintain law and order, trying to protect animals, and then in return they get beaten and threatened with their lives. That ain't happening when I'm mayor, Frank. It ain't happening.
Two quick questions, Curtis. One, should the police, when these people were released from jail that same day, should the police have taken more pains to protect Kenesha and her husband, knowing that they were potentially at risk and potentially vulnerable to an attack?
Absolutely. They know the history of the main assaulter, the guy who was illegally breeding these dogs. They knew he would come back. But nobody cares, Frank. Nobody cares.
So it sounds like the police are, at least in your view, partially culpable here.
There's no doubt. 67th Precinct, whoever the deputy inspector is in charge of the precinct, should have known better, or the captain who was in charge of the command at that moment. There was a lot of attention given when the ASPCA and the animal control unit of the NYPD came in to take out these dogs that were illegally being bred, tortured, abused, and yet they didn't think they would come back? Come on, Frank. Where's the humanity? Where is the concern for the people who actually cooperate? And yet you're going to have people running out to Rikers Island concerned about inmates, inmates' rights being abused, inmates' rights, oh my God. What about the people who are forced to live in solitary confinement in their own homes because they can't even walk out into the streets? You heard this woman describe her and her husband being beat down in front of their children. No response. What a shame. What a disgraziata.
Now, Curtis,
how can we even look at ourselves in the mirror when we know crimes like this are being committed?
Curtis, you characterize the perpetrators here as being gang members or affiliated with gangs. Based on your observations, and I know your familiarity with gangs in New York and around the country over the years, what do these gang members tend to do with these dogs that they illegally breed? What are they breeding them for?
Fighting dogs. They cut their vocal cords so they can't be heard barking. And they teach them to attack other dogs. And if they lose these battles where large amounts of money are waged, they kill the dogs. Remember, it's the Michael Vick story all over again. It's happening in so many of our inner city areas, and it must be stopped. All right. If we allow animals to be abused in this capacity, we know from study after study, they start abusing animals, and then they abuse people. There's a lot of guys in jail when you talk to them. You ask them, when did they become violent? Well, they started abusing dogs. Nothing was done. No intervention. They weren't locked up. And then eventually they accelerated it till they started violating and hitting their own children, their wives, their girlfriends, other citizens. When are we going to learn, Frank?
Well,
the signs are out there. Animal abuse leads to human abuse.
Curtis, I'll let you get back to being vigilant, but I want to take at least one call with you while you're on the phone. Let's say hello to Mark in Westchester, a former guardian angel himself. Hello, Mark.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Doing great, Mark.
And, lovely. And Mr. Rock, How are you?
Not good. Telling you, angry. These guys come back here, I'm going to give them the beat down of their lives. They'll have to arrest me, the police here. I defy them to, because apparently that's the only kind of justice that can exist in New York City.
You are 100% right. And back when I was in the Angels in 1981, you know, the police officers loved us. Maybe not the brass, maybe not the mayor, but the regular police officer loved us. And Curtis, The Rock, I will tell you, I am telling everybody I know to vote for you on my Facebook, on all of my social media. You taught me how to be a man without having to beat the piss out of somebody, how to just be a man and stop a crime. And I'll never forget you. You answered the phone no matter what time I called.
Well, Mark, that's part of what being a leader is. You have to lead by example. It's do as I say and do as I do. This is my nightlife. It's been this way, as Frank knows, for many, many years. I just want to know, the borough president of Brooklyn, Eric Adams, who has been hanging out at Zero Bond in private clubs with the TikTok girls, trying to keep up with the Kardashians of late. Do your freaking job, Eric. This is your borough, Brooklyn. It's got the most crime. It's got the most violations against those participating in the criminal justice system. Do your freaking job before anointing yourself the next mayor of the city of New York.
Mark, thank you. Curtis, we'll let you get back to watching over things in East Flatbush. Please keep us posted if there's any further developments while we're on the air here. I appreciate you bringing this to not only our attention but the attention of our listeners, and hopefully there's some changes in how things go down in terms of policing in East Flatbush after this.
Lead to my 78th arrest, because I'm not letting anything happen to this woman, her husband, and her children. If I have to give a beat down to protect them and end up in the 6-7 precinct getting arrested, as you know, Frank, I've been arrested many times before. I'll get arrested again, and they can put me on freaking Rikers Island. And then maybe they can come visit me and feel sorry for me.
And Curtis, I'm assuming that animal control took possession of the dogs that were in this apartment. Is that right?
That is correct. All 20 of them illegally bred, kept in cramped cages, defecation, urine everywhere, horrible gulag style torture chamber for these fighting dogs. And they will all be rescued. And they'll all be given to those great citizens out there who take these kinds of abused animals into their homes and normalize them. That's the good part of this story. Unfortunately, the humans on this end are going to have to live in fear that these attacks will continue because they cooperated with the law. They cooperated with the police. They cooperated with the DA. But they're not getting any cooperation from City Hall or government.
Curtis, we'll have to leave it there. I appreciate the time. Keep us posted. If people want to learn more about what Curtis is doing, they can go to the website SLEWA4NY.com. That's SLEWA4NY.com. If you want to make a contribution or if you want to volunteer, it's SLEWA4NY.com. Hey, we'll continue next with Josh O'Brien, personal trainer, expert on astrology, longtime free speech advocate, also happens to be my brother-in-law. Stay tuned next. This is The Other Side of Midnight, straight ahead.
You're hearing things.
On 77 WABC.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
Come on, baby. Let's do that twist. Come on, baby. Let's do that twist. Take me by my little hand.
That's Chevy Checker. The twists. Well, this is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. Thrilled to be joined in studio by one of my eight siblings-in-law, happens to be the oldest, the firstborn of my siblings-in-law. In addition, happens to be a personal trainer, a podcaster, an expert in many things, including the world of astrology. Let me welcome Josh O'Brien. Josh, how are you?
I'm great, Frank. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for coming in. Now, Josh, so you seem like a bundle of contradictions. You have a master's degree. You have been kind of a scientifically inclined guy. You dedicate your life to physiology and the body. You're kind of a bodybuilder yourself, but you spend a lot of time training. You're a master personal trainer. And yet you spend a lot of time focused on learning about and teaching astrology, a field that has sort of had a tricky relationship with science. Explain to folks your journey from personal trainer, exercise enthusiast, master's degree recipient to astrologer.
Frank, I love self-optimization, be it the body, be it the mind, be it the spirit, what have you. Well, after learning about the body, going to school, training with it for so many years, I have a deep appreciation for what scientific study can do for understanding. And, of course, that helps us with the body, learning the physiology, how it works. And that same appreciation for observation, evidence, and trying to understand complexity brought me to astrology. Because one day I stumbled on the fact that astrology was a real system that spoke to a real phenomenon in our world. And I was fascinated because prior to this, I thought it was complete nonsense. And I was sucked right into it and have been studying it ever since.
So when you say you're into astrology and you study astrology, we've all heard stories about people that read the horoscope in the newspaper and then allow whatever the horoscope is for that day to sort of dictate their decisions for that day. Is that what you do?
I actually don't do anything like that. We've spoken about this before, and I've told you that I really don't think that those sun sign astrology write-ups in the paper are really that accurate. They're based on very small portions of the astrological system that we use so effectively. So I think it's more like popcorn-type entertainment, and personally, I really don't put a lot of stock into it.
So what can you use astrology for? What can you gain a greater understanding of with astrology? Can you predict your future, for instance?
I actually don't quite study that application. The answer is yes, but that's not where my skill set lies. My skill set lies more in the psychological analysis of the individual. And of course, like any of the psychoanalysts or the psychologists of the 20th century will tell you, knowing the person, understanding the inside world of the individual helps to optimize the life of that person. So that's what I focus on.
So we had a caller before who said she was a Sagittarius, although she characterized it as a Sagittarian. I thought it was some new nutritional fad that she was describing, and that she was born December 13th. What could you tell Carol in New Jersey with those two pieces of information, that she's a Sagittarian and born December 13th? What can she do with that information that would make her life more fulfilling?
Well, my first statement is Sagittarius is my favorite sign.
Ah!
My favorite sign because those are the go-getters of the zodiac. Though those are impassioned people that love to learn, and they love to learn what they think is meaningful. I actually have my moon in Sagittarius. I find
psychology.
Now, what
psychology, does that mean, your moon is in Sagittarius?
That means that the moment I was born, on the date I was born, from the location at which I was born, the sky, when looked at as a snapshot, frozen in time, the moon was against the backdrop of the zodiac sign that we call Sagittarius, a cluster of stars in the sky, and it happened to be positioned in front of the backdrop of Sagittarius. And being born at that time, that means that my inner world is influenced in such a way that I think like a Sagittarius. I largely act like a Sagittarius. It's my favorite sign, so good for her.
If people have questions about their own sign, 800-848-9222. Josh O'Brien is here. He'll do his best to answer them. 1-800-848-WABC. How do you let astrology impact your own life? What do you do differently after having some understanding of the stars and the planets and how they're aligned? How does it affect you?
That's a great question. So personally, I've spent a lot of time studying my own birth chart, my natal birth chart. And I did what the psychoanalysts of the 20th century tried so hard to do, was to essentially crack the code of the individual. Because if you can crack the code of the individual, understanding what drives them, what perhaps creates problems for them, and how to sort of overcome problems and to optimize the tools that we are as people. If I was to look at a blueprint of an individual, if I was to look at the, let's say, the owner's manual, the instruction manual, and I was to look inside who that individual was, it would tell me what their purpose is. It would tell me what their skills are. It would tell me what their potential is. It would tell me what the root of many of their problems are. And in knowing these two things, what their purpose is, slash what their skill set is, and also what is the root of their problems, we're able to solve problems and optimize performance, and you can create what Carl Jung, the psychoanalyst, what Abraham Maslow, the psychologist, called self-actualized individuals.
So, for instance, a caller called earlier in the show wondering if she was doing the right thing in terms of switching jobs. Would her astrological chart have provided any sort of guidance as to whether or not that was the right thing to do?
I can speak to about half of that personally. I don't study predictive astrology. Predictive astrology will tell you what your future may hold. Personally, not such an interest of mine. I love the psychology of the individual. And if a woman is working a job that is not for her, I can see that in her chart. I can see a job that doesn't fit her, just like I can see a job that fits you, like the one you're doing.
Thankfully, hopefully, because I'm not really qualified to do much else. 800-848-WABC if you have questions. So when it comes to astrology and the planets, the best application that you utilize it for, and maybe help others utilize it for, is analyzing their own psychology, where they are, and how that applies to different aspects of their life, professionally, personally, relationships, and so forth.
Absolutely. And I love the word you just said, relationships, there. Big emphasis on that, because if I know your chart, and I know my sister's chart, and I know my mother's chart, and I know my girlfriend's chart, and et cetera, et cetera, I can now navigate my relationship with them in a far more informed way, far more powerful ability to see into the individual, see what makes them tick, see what may tick them off, and be able to navigate this in a way that helps us optimize the relationship.
So let's say you have a friend or a family member that's getting married, and you know his or her chart, and you know the chart of the person he or she is marrying. Can you make an informed prediction about whether or not that relationship is going to last? And how has your track record been with those sort of predictions?
That's a really great question. I'm not able to currently predict by looking at the chart of those two people in that relationship, maybe a married couple, soon to be married. I'm not able to state who may do something that would be wrong for a relationship, perhaps some infidelity, perhaps some dishonesty. What I can tell you is how the attraction perhaps would be between the two, and perhaps common values shared, common interests. And of course, those are super critical for a strong foundation of a relationship.
Do people who have similar astrological profiles tend to have similar careers?
They should have similar careers. Not everybody is where they should be. Some people are. I'm going to use two people as an example. You and your wife. Your wife is my sister. The two of you have very large Gemini influences. You're a Gemini sun. I'm not telling any secrets. She's got a Gemini moon. They say that the Gemini moon makes for a good writer and that the Gemini sun makes for a good speaker. What do you and your wife do?
Right. So I guess we chose. Properly based on our astrological profile. I want to touch upon some other issues with you. But if people have questions, call in now. You have access to a real expert and an interesting guy, nonetheless. 800-848-9222. Let me say hello to Donna in Huntington. Donna, you have a question for Josh?
Hi. How are you?
We're doing great, Donna. What's on your mind?
I was born Pisces. My rising is Sagittarius. My moon is Pisces. And I don't know if you can tell me anything about, like, what my future might be holding. I've been going through, like, some legal problems the last 5 years.
Anything we can tell Donna, maybe not her future, but her present based on what she just described?
Hey, Donna, so I'd really have to take a look at your chart to do this in a more thorough manner. And again, okay. I don't really do predictive astrology. What I can give you is just a bit of a generalization based on, I believe you said your sun was Pisces, moon Pisces, is that correct?
Right.
And then you ascended to Sagittarius.
My rising was Sagittarius.
Rising is Sagittarius. And what was the issue that you're going through right now?
I've been dealing with a whole legal estate fraud situation with my two brothers for the last 5 years after my mother passed away.
Well, not knowing much about your situation, the best I can do right now is to give you a little bit of feedback, let's say, on your signs, those large influences in your life and big influences as to who you are and how you act. And I'll say this. I love Pisces. I love Sagittarius. Those have big influences in my chart. And Pisces can be a very giving, very empathetic, very, very feeling type sign.
That's true.
Great at taking care of other people, great at caring about other people, great at putting themselves sort of on the back burner and caring for the needs of others first. The unfortunate.
Very true. And we get taken advantage of easily, too.
Thank you. And that's where I was going. It's the sign that is the most exploited because they are willing to empathize with others, willing to sort of take a step back and defer. And unfortunately, others sometimes take advantage of that. Now, I don't know if that's an element in your current problem or your current situation, but
yeah,
I would say
it definitely is.
Okay, so it is. So I would say with that large Pisces influence, it's such a beautiful sign. And my mother is a double Pisces, Pisces sun, Pisces moon. And those can be some of the most wonderful people that you can ever meet. What I would suggest in your situation is take a cue from that Sagittarius ascendant. Sagittarius can be a pretty tough sign, a little bit stronger, a little bit more fiery than Pisces. And Sagittarius knows right from wrong. Sagittarius is the guru of the zodiac. Sagittarius knows when things are not right and what needs to be fixed. So I would say you know what's not quite right in this situation that you're currently in. And although you're perhaps used to maybe just stepping back and letting things be what they are, perhaps use some of that Sagittarius influence you've got and start being a little bit more confident and a little bit more pushy with what you think is right. And I think that may help balance out these differing energies within you and may help you find a little bit more success moving forward.
Right, because Sagittarius is like the fighter.
That's right.
Well, Donna, thank you for calling. I hope things work out for you. We'll take at least one more of these. 800-848-9222 if you have a question. Carol Ann is here in New York City. Hello, Carol Ann.
Hello. I know my chart a lot, so I guess you can do psychology. My sun is in Aries, so is my Venus, my Mars, and my Mercury. I have Sag rising, and I have my moon in Leo, my Pluto in Leo, and my Saturn in Leo.
Wow.
So what does that mean, Josh?
That means she's pure fire. That is one hot chick. So I don't have to tell you if you've had your chart done. You know those are all fire signs. There are 12 signs. Three of those are fire signs. You just named the three fire signs. So you are probably, correct me if I'm wrong, and I do want you to, probably largely driven by passion, by perhaps some impulse, by drive, by desire, and you're probably someone that can be a little bit hot-headed at sometimes passionate, sometimes wonderful, sometimes very charismatic, very intense. That is one hell of a combination. I actually have a question for you. How does that affect your life?
You know, I'm an eternal optimist, and I'm very busy. I'm very active with the Sag rising, but I love that I have this indomitable spirit and a wonderful sense of humor, and I think it's a lot with the Sag rising.
Carol Ann, thank you, and enjoy being a fiery sign and having all those multiple fire signs. We're going to continue with Josh O'Brien in just a bit. We'll touch upon some other areas as well, including vaccine hesitancy. Why do some people not want to get vaccinated? And a potentially very alarming trend, YouTube deciding to not even allow videos questioning this on their platform. We'll get into it with Josh O'Brien in just a minute. And we'll take your calls as well. 800-848-WABC. It's 1-800-848-9222. Well, you don't have to be an expert in astrology to see what's happening in our economy. Our economy these days can be summed up in one word, inflation. If you look at the price of food, the dollar is buying you less of it than ever. If you look at the price of gasoline, the dollar is buying less of it than ever. If you look at the price of stocks, you really think the companies that have seen such growth in the stock market, you really think they're that much more valuable than they were a year or 2 years ago? Of course not. Everything you're seeing is a result of inflation, and something tells me that these bubbles are all about to burst. Now, where does that leave you? Well, if history is any indicator, gold and precious metals can be a hedge against inflation, and that's where legacy precious metals come in. If you have an existing retirement account and you want to make sure you're not seeing your savings eaten away by inflation, think about rolling it into a gold or a silver IRA, and think about doing it with legacy precious metal. Because the last time the stock market collapsed and Americans lost their retirement, those that were invested in gold saw big gains and avoided the financial carnage. That's why gold really should be a part of every wise investor's portfolio. Legacy is the company that you can trust because they give you unbiased counsel based on your individual situation. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. The phone number is, write this down, 866-932-0635. That's 866-932-0635. Or visit LegacyPMInvestments.com.
77 WABC, All-American.
Oh, the shark, babe, has such teeth there, and it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie, babe, and it keeps it out of sight.
You know Bobby Darin, the great Walden Robert Casado, singing Mac the Knife. My guest for the hour is my brother-in-law, Josh O'Brien, who also has a video podcast that you may want to check out. You can find it by going to YouTube and just searching Josh O'Brien, Learn, Think, Build. What's this podcast all about? What are you trying to do with this podcast?
Well, Frank, I actually started this podcast in order to discuss my great interests, including astrology, psychology, physiology, etc. Because of this odd time we find ourselves in our current world, I've been covering topics like the virus, like the 2020 election, and things that seem to be going awry in our current world.
So, very interesting. I saw the first two podcasts that you did. I was on one. I enjoyed that, certainly. The third episode, I was very interested to see because you spent a lot of time focusing on vaccines and some other things that I'm interested in. But YouTube took, at least when you first posted it, they took down your podcast.
Yes.
Right. And now today the news comes out that that's now the official policy of YouTube, that they're going to not allow any sort of what they've characterized as anti-vax material on YouTube. Forget about putting a warning sign on it or a directive towards a public health authority or anything like that. They're just not even going to allow this. What is your And what's your reaction to YouTube silencing a big part of the public out there that wants this kind of content or at least wants to learn about it?
I am not happy about it. I am being very choice with my words lately because I am confident that we have a real problem in this country. and that the problem is being masked by the censorship. The censorship is the secondary problem. The primary problem, I believe, is that our country is being stolen out from under our feet right now. And those that want to say something about it are being censored and blocked.
Well, who's doing the stealing?
Great question. So as I mentioned in my first couple of podcasts, and you were on my first podcast with me.
Honored. That's my real claim to fame.
And we were discussing the Great Reset. The Great Reset, at least the name coined by the group at Davos, this is the group that is comprised largely of the most, some of the most powerful people in the world, billionaires, heads of corporations, heads of state. And this group, the World Economic Forum, has been very vocal and very public about their intention to see that the way that the world's economy runs changes, and that the impedance or those blocking the changes they want to see implemented, that impedance or those blocking it, namely, let's say, Donald Trump up until this past year, would sort of not be relevant, that they would be able to move through with their plans being great changes to the economy, great changes to the lifestyle of Americans and others in the world. And it looks like they've been taking steps to make sure that that happens in spite of the resistance in this country.
So the people that would be doing the stealing are multinational corporations. They're groups like the IMF. Who specifically, if the country's being stolen, who's the one, who are the entities that are doing the stealing?
All of the above. When we look at a group like the World Economic Forum, when we look at the International Monetary Fund, when we look at the World Bank, when we look at the United Nations, when we look at the European Union, we are now seeing large groups of some of the most powerful people in the world that have all sort of coalesced, bonded together under a single banner, and they are moving forward with great intention. So I can point a finger at every one of those groups, including the heads of France, Germany, the U.S., England, Australia, Canada. You get the idea, the who's who, the people on the world stage, and they are all in unison working towards this, and I have no doubt that they're behind a lot of the chaos.
So the third video that you did that I haven't seen yet, but I will now that that it's up on Rumble, and people can access it through YouTube, though. Just search Josh O'Brien, Learn, Think, Build on YouTube, and you'll see all the videos that Josh has done on there. You get into the 2020 presidential election.
Yes, sir.
Give me your take on the 2020 election and what happened there.
Happily. So in a nutshell, I'm going to give you the one-minute spiel here, all right? Five states realized that there was so much evidence of fraud that the Senate, state Senates, held hearings in order to hear from the public, those that were present at the counting of the ballots, testimony, sworn affidavits, what transpired. They were so impacted by the testimony that all of these states have either initiated or are going to initiate state audits of the elections.
So we got Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania. Was Nevada one?
Wisconsin. I'm going to go with Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Arizona. Mm-hmm. And I want to speak to two of the audits. Now, most of these audits are still in the works. The Arizona audit, as many people have heard, has concluded. And, of course, the press did a hit job on them and completely distorted the outcome of the election. And Michigan did an audit, that is to say a forensic analysis of the voting machines. Both audits failed the election. Both audits found that the machines are designed for fraud and that the records from the machines were deleted in order to prevent the fraud from being seen in these audits. So at every turn that we've looked, we've seen evidence of dishonesty, we've seen illegal activities, and in both cases, the auditors failed the audits, that is to say, failed the elections for lack of transparency and apparent, let's call it engineering of the machines so that fraud was intended.
So how many in Arizona, for instance, how many fraudulent ballots do you think were cast?
That's a great question. So I want to be very...
Not that you can know, but based on your looking into this.
Yes. So the way the Arizona audit was conducted, or let's say the reason why it was conducted, was not to do a ballot recount, not to do a vote recount. That's not why they did the audit. The accusations towards the Arizona audit, or let's say the election that took place there, were not that there would be more ballots, less ballots than those in the machines, but that the ballots themselves would be fraudulent. The Arizona auditors did not look at the ballots themselves. What they did was they looked at the processes. Of course, they counted the ballots, and they were the same count as the machines. But what they found was that the machines themselves not only designed for fraud, the records were wiped, and the connection between the machines and the internet, which is not supposed to be very active during the election, was quite active. And when they subpoenaed the materials that would enable them to see what transpired along that internet connection, the state, what are we calling these guys?
Election Board
officials.
Of election, right.
Thank you. The State Board of Elections refused, despite subpoenas, refused to hand over the materials that would show what transpired along that connection to the internet. So the ballot counts themselves were never really in question. What I've been questioning ad nauseum is, are those real ballots? And I contend that they are not real ballots. Many of them probably to the tune of over a couple hundred thousand.
So do you think that there was fraud, but that Biden still won the election? Do you think there was fraud and Trump actually won? Or do you think that there was fraud and there's no way to know who the actual winner of the election was?
Well, I know that there was fraud. I strongly suspect that Donald Trump won a lot more states than he was credited for. Now, there's no way for me to currently prove that, but the evidence shows that they cheated. I know they cheated. I predicted how they were going to cheat, and the evidence shows that they did it exactly as I said they were going to do.
Don't you think that on the part of Donald Trump, and you know I'm a Trump supporter, but on the part of Donald Trump and some of his supporters, there would be a little bit of a refusal to accept the results of the election no matter what, just because you get the sense that Donald Trump, if he were to ever not win at something, he would always find an excuse as to why he didn't win. And I'm wondering if that refusal to accept an election result will mean that no matter what proof is shown, that there'll be a lot of elements of the Trump coalition that never accept the legitimacy of the election.
I can't know that, because the way that history played out was that there was plenty of evidence of election fraud. So although I may be with you on that notion, we'll never know, because there were boatloads and that's what we acted on.
Fair enough. You are not vaccinated. How come?
Another great question. I'm not vaccinated because it's apparent to those that are willing to see and those willing to research that our government has been very dishonest about this virus and about the vaccines from day one. I didn't trust our government 5 years ago. I knew they were up to a bunch of nonsense back then. That's why Donald Trump won the presidency. Now that this virus came along and this vaccine was pushed, my skepticism brought me to do deep investigation, deep research, and at every turn I found out that there was plenty of dishonesty. And I want to make a quick point here, because we're sort of in the territory that has been labeled conspiracy theory, mm-hmm. right? So I want to make a really quick point. When it comes to conspiracy theories, this is how to assess a conspiracy theory. And it's very, very simple. It's this. When you look into a conspiracy, does it shrink and disappear, or does it grow larger with investigation, right? This is using the scientific method. This is what I was trained to do as a graduate research assistant, working on research, publishing research, learning statistical analysis, etc. We learn how to find truth. And when you investigate a theory like we're discussing with, let's say, COVID-19, with the vaccines, the more you look, the more you find that there's substance to this. And in fact, it's the backbone of what's going on, as opposed to, let's say, a flat earth, which is, upon researching, you realize any evidence that you think might be there disappears into thin air.
So do you not get vaccinated because you think it's unnecessary for somebody that's young and healthy and has no pre-existing conditions? Or do you not get vaccinated because you think the vaccine is harmful?
That's another great question. And I love these questions because these details matter. Part of the movement against resistance to the vaccine is to mischaracterize the concerns of those that refuse to get the vaccine. So your question is a valuable one. My personal answer is that I refuse to take part in something I know is a psychological operation and an abuse on the American people. So I am abstaining in protest, regardless of efficacy or lack thereof, regardless of side effects or lack thereof, and I have plenty to say about both. But first and foremost, it's a protest against abuse by the government.
All right. We're gonna have to have you back on that subject in the future because that's not going anywhere. A couple of quick items I want to get you to comment on before we run out of time. Gino writes in the Facebook group, you can optimize relationships better by not prejudging people on facets as silly as the day and hour they were born. This lackluster science is just another form of bias. What do you say to Gino?
I would say, Gino, my brother, I respect you, and I had this very same opinion 5 years ago. So I completely am on board with you. The difference between you, Gino, and myself as of this year is that I've researched it.
A couple of quick calls I want to try and get in before we run out of time. Janet is in Manhattan. Janet, you're on with Josh O'Brien.
Hello, Josh O'Brien.
Hey, Janet.
So I'm so happy to talk to you. I have been in the flux for the last few months, and I'm moving into a new home, and I feel that it's the right place for me. And I'm born October 29th, so I'm a Scorpio. I have a moon in there somewhere. I don't know where it belongs, but it's pretty strong.
Okay. All right, so what's your question, Janet? Well, keep in mind, we only have less than a minute here.
I want to know, is it going to be a happy home for me?
Well, so, Josh, you've already said you can't necessarily offer predictions, right? So we can't necessarily answer Janet's question here.
Janet, I can't necessarily answer your question based on just being a Scorpio sun. I love that you called in. I'd love to take a look at your chart and take a crack at answering that question. But I will say this, and of course, this is a little bit of a thin answer, being I don't have much information, but being that you called in, you know, Scorpios tend to have a pretty good sense. They have almost like a sixth sense. They're tuned in to sort of their psychology, their emotions. You can say that they're one of the most strongly feeling signs. So a very thin answer to do my best to give you is that trust your intuition. If you like the home, it's probably the right place for you.
Josh, this has been a lot of fun. Let's do this again. I'll see you at your next family function, whenever that one is, right?
Thank you, Frank.
All right, Josh O'Brien. Hey, how can people get you on Instagram? That's the only social media you're on, right?
Instagram, Josh O'Brien, 784.
Josh O'Brien,
784.
Josh O'Brien, 784. Hey, denunciations next. Until then, keep asking questions.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
Good morning, everyone. This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. We're going to talk with Steve Adubato about the New Jersey gubernatorial election coming up in about a half hour. We'll do denunciations in just a minute. But one quick reminder as you plan what you're doing this weekend. This is a big weekend because we are kicking off our special programming to celebrate 100 years of 77 WABC. You can join us this and every single Sunday in October at 3 p.m. for a one-hour special honoring WABC icons. Now, this Sunday, October 3rd, we're highlighting Rush Limbaugh's first show on WABC. Now, that's pretty neat. I have heard the audio of that show. In fact, when Rush died, I played some of the clips, but I couldn't play a whole hour's worth. You'll also hear from the King of Talk Radio, Bob Grant, and highlights from some of his years on 77 WABC. This is a jam-packed hour. It's all part of 77 WABC celebrating 100 years. It's something I'm going to be listening to. I don't think you're going to want to miss it. Tune in every Sunday in October at 3 p.m. for your opportunity to listen to the icons of 77 WABC. And if you're a radio lover as I am and a historian of this radio station as I am, we have to give a big thanks to John and Margot Katsimatidis for making this all possible as we celebrate 100 years of 77 WABC. Without further ado, it's time for
The Other Side of Midnight presents Denunciations.
Ah, yes. Let me first begin by denouncing, and this is a story that I don't think I had seen until one of our listeners brought this to our attention. And I generally read the Wall Street Journal, but this escaped my attention until a day or two ago. But more than I want to denounce the 131 federal judges who broke the law by hearing cases where they had a financial interest. You heard me correctly. A fascinating piece of journalism by the Wall Street Journal. And I'm thinking of inviting these three reporters that broke this story. But they chronicle in the journal these cases where judges failed to recuse themselves from 685 lawsuits over 8 years involving firms in which they or their family held shares. Now, this is outrageous. Shame on all these judges. And if we had a radio show that was more than 4 hours, I would happily name each and every one of these judges. But hopefully you'll see the article and in the meantime know that I am denouncing all 131 of these judges for their failure to recuse themselves. I want to denounce The Lancet. The Lancet is the leading British medical journal because they described women. This is not a joke. The Lancet actually went so far as to describe women as, quote, bodies with vaginas on their latest cover. Now, this has sparked a swift backlash. And the editor has even apologized, but shouldn't we expect better from one of the world's oldest and best known medical journals? This is crazy. It's absolutely crazy. There's nothing wrong with calling women women. We don't have the name of this person, but I want to denounce the woman who reported a fake shooting in Troy, New York, in the hopes that the police would not arrest her boyfriend during a traffic stop. So this is nuts. Oh, it's actually not Troy, New York. It's Troy, Michigan. Excuse me. It's just as nuts. But this woman called 911, and we don't have her name. Otherwise, I'd happily give it to you. This woman called 911 and reported a fake shooting in the hopes that the police would respond to the more serious crime and not arrest her boyfriend during a traffic stop. So the 911 caller told the police she'd heard two gunshots inside the hotel on the second floor, the hotel of the Marriott in Detroit. And when the police arrived at the hotel, they said they determined there hadn't been any gunshots. Officers learned that the woman who made the 911 call was a passenger in a vehicle that had been pulled over by Troy police for a traffic violation. So police spoke with this woman and she admitted to making the call in the hopes that the officers making the traffic stop would go to the shooting because it was more serious. She hoped they wouldn't arrest her boyfriend as a result of handling the more serious crime. Now, the woman has also been arrested and charged with falsely summoning a police officer. First of all, I would denounce this woman just for the attempt at doing this because this is a terrible thing to do. To waste police resources, having them respond to a non-existent shooting is evil. I mean, what if there are people that really needed the police at that moment and instead the cops are responding to this non-existent shooting that this woman just made up? But in addition to that, how does this woman not think she's going to be caught? She doesn't realize the 911 operators can trace your phone calls? This woman is no brain surgeon. That is for sure. I also want to denounce
a driver who used a fake skeleton to be a passenger in the HOV lane. Now, again, we don't have this person's name either, but we do have the images, and I'm going to link to it on my Facebook page at facebook.com/MoranoFan if you want to try it, see the image of this skeleton. This guy wanted to use the HOV lane, and he, this is in Houston, Texas, and in the passenger seat, he used a skeleton, not a real skeleton, but like a dummy, a toy skeleton. So, I mean, you don't want to wait in the traffic lane that everybody else has to wait in. Get a real passenger. They have all sorts of apps, including Waze, where you can register to drive someone so you can use that HOV lane. But this driver was a bona fide jerk and couldn't be bothered. And now the police, they gave him a ticket. Needless to say, they had a bone to pick with him. Thank you. I want to denounce Stephanie Grisham. You know, I've never really had a high opinion of Stephanie Grisham. She was a terrible White House press secretary, one of the worst ever. She didn't give a single press conference. And the few times that she did do interviews on media, she was not very convincing about whatever she was talking about. She was not a very good spokesman for the administration she was working on, but that's okay. You don't get denounced for not being good at your job. But here is my issue. She just wrote this tell-all book. Now, this woman not only worked for Melania, but then she became the White House Secretary for Trump. She rose through the ranks to the top echelons of the communications shop and the top echelons of the government solely due to her relationship with Donald and Melania Trump. And now that they're out of favor, now she has an opportunity to make some money by selling a book in which she does nothing but bash them. Now, I hate this kind of disloyalty. And this is not unique to her. We've seen other Trump aides do it. We've seen other aides, other presidents do it. But I find this so sickening. Let me tell you, if I'm ever fired from this radio station, I will be grateful for the year that I've had here. I will not be writing a tell-all book, not that I have much to tell, about the owner of this radio station and saying insulting things. But these people, including Stephanie Grisham, have no sense of loyalty, no sense of decorum. I mean, if you want to do it 5 years later, that's one thing. But while Trump is still an active presidential candidate, I don't know. This strikes me as just horribly disloyal, and it looks like she's fishing for a paycheck. So, I don't have a lot of respect for Stephanie Grisham. Too busy savoring her perks when she was in good with the president, and now that the president and the first lady that she served are on the outs, she sees that she can make money by bashing them. I find it incredibly lame. I want to denounce the state of Mississippi. The state of Mississippi is apparently the worst state in the entire country to have a baby. Oh, yes. There is a new study comparing health care costs, accessibility to care, and baby and family friendliness in all 50 states and Washington, D.C. And the state that finishes dead last, number 51, Mississippi. That's right, Mississippi. If you're curious about the best state, that's Massachusetts. So hopefully Jennifer from Boston is in a breeding mood. I want to denounce the American Civil Liberties Union. The American Civil Liberties Union, which used to do a lot of great work and instead has now seemingly abandoned so many of the principles that they used to fight for. The ACLU put out a tweet quoting Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Now, that's great. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was a champion for a lot of the causes that the ACLU supports. But on September 18th, they put out a tweet quoting Ruth Bader Ginsburg, but they changed her words. They replaced each of her references to women with person, people, or a plural pronoun. Now, Justice Ginsburg, who died last year, is a revered figure in feminist circles, and she directed the ACLU's Women's Rights Project. For them to alter her tweet to take out references to women when Justice Ginsburg was very proud to be a woman. I suspect that she was very proud to be someone that advanced the cause of women's rights as an attorney and as a justice. And for the ACLU to so care so little about her legacy that they're going to change the words and remove any reference to gender, it's just lame. ACLU, I do denounce you. And by the way, the executive director of the ACLU has now apologized for doing this, and he has said they will not do this again, which hopefully it'll be a learning experience for everybody. I want to denounce former French President Nicolas Sarkozy. He has been convicted in a campaign financing scheme. French ex-president Nicolas Sarkozy was convicted and sentenced to a year of house arrest for illegal campaign financing of his unsuccessful 2012 election bid. He was, of course, the president of France from 2007 to 2012. He had vigorously denied wrongdoing during the trial. Now, he can appeal the decision, which would suspend the sentence. Now, he was not present at the Paris court for the ruling. He spent twice the maximum legal limit. Now, the court stated that Sarkozy knew the legal limit and voluntarily failed to supervise additional expenses. Now, this guy's a lawyer, and he can't figure out that his campaign is breaking the campaign finance law? Jeez, not any kind of lawyer I'd hire. So the verdict yesterday comes after Sarkozy was found guilty on March 1st of corruption and influence peddling in another case. He was given a year in prison and 2 years suspended in that case, but he's free pending appeal. So this guy's a real beaut. So one case he's committing corruption and influence peddling. In the other case, he's part of an illegal campaign finance operation. President Sarkozy, I do denounce you. I must also denounce the two Brooklyn teens who stole a school bus in Canarsie and took it on a joyride before crashing into at least four parked cars. I mean, these kids are such losers. And to you joyriding, school bus-loving teens, I do denounce you. And I lastly want to denounce, and I hate to do this because I think this is my friend Chris Libertini. I want to denounce whoever wrote the same introduction for Dominic Carter in the WABC clip of the day 2 days in a row. Now, Dominic's very kind to play the 77 WABC clip of the day. It's a clip from my show usually. They played the same clip 2 days in a row, although the day before, it was with the wrong intro. So yesterday, Dominic introduced that I would be saying something about Instagram, and instead, I was talking about illegal aliens. Today, he said I was going to be talking about illegal aliens, and yes, I was talking about illegal aliens. So, poor Dominic Carter's only got an hour every day. He's kind enough to give me 40 seconds of it in this WABC clip of the day. And whoever prepared this clip, and I don't know if it was Chris Libertini, it could have been anybody, but whoever prepared this clip for him played the same clip 2 days in a row. So, I don't like to waste the audience's time, and I don't like to waste Dominic's time. So whoever's responsible for that, I do denounce you. And, oh, the other thing, as they were preparing that WABC clip of the day and Dominic's reading of it, they introduced me as being on Sunday through Thursday. I am not on Sunday through Thursday. You know what day today is? It's Friday. Enjoy it. TGIF. You know how I know it's Friday? I'm looking at a calendar on my phone. It says Friday. It does not say Thursday. Not on Sunday through Thursday. I'm on Monday through Friday. Come on, people. Get with it. All right. Steve Adubato joins me next. We're going to talk about the New Jersey gubernatorial race. They had a big debate this week, Jack Cittarelli and Phil Murphy. Turned out to be a pretty interesting debate, actually. So we'll talk with Steve Adubato next. If you want to comment on any of my denunciations, I'll get to you after Steve. 800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
Good morning, everyone. This is The Other Side of Midnight on 77 WABC. I'm Frank Morano. Well, you might not know it because I don't think it's gotten nearly enough attention, but there's actually two gubernatorial elections this year, one right here in our area. That's right. There's a big election for governor of New Jersey. Phil Murphy seeking re-election, and the Republican that's challenging him is former Assemblyman Jack Cittarelli, a man that knows New Jersey politics inside and out, has been an observer and a participant for literally decades, is somebody that I've come to regard as a pretty close friend. He's an Emmy Award-winning anchor on PBS. He's the host of Lessons in Leadership and the author of the book Lessons in Leadership. He's also got a lot of other lines on his resume, but we only have a four-hour show. We're not going to list them all. Gives me a great deal of pleasure. Welcome, Steve Adubato. Hello there, Steve.
Good to talk to you, my friend. Yes, A, we are close friends, and B, that introduction is exactly the way I wrote it, Mr. Morano. Thank you.
Well, you know that I'm very capable of going the other way, too. So let's see how the next few minutes of this interview go, Steve.
You are in control, my friend.
First, let's get to the serious business first. Yankees, a big win over the Blue Jays last night. They seem to have a lot of momentum heading into the playoffs. I know you're a Yankee fan, but I know you're also capable of being objective. How do you see things going in the postseason this year?
Frank, I'm actually not capable of being objective when it comes to the Yankees. When it comes to politics and Democrats and Republicans, totally objective.
Well, there's a lot of Trump people that say you're not capable of being objective when it comes to politics either.
Well, they should listen to this segment. They can decide for themselves after that. But I got to say this. The Yankees, five hits, five home runs. If they're hitting home runs, they're good. If they're not, they're in trouble. It's come down to two games. Two is the magic number. If they get those two games in a combination of wins and losses from other people, they back into the playoffs, which is awesome. And I'm excited about the postseason. So it's going to be a big deal for Yankee fans.
All right. So we're in the home stretch in terms of the political season this year as well. There's a few big local races in the New York area. Obviously, you got the mayor's race. But the New Jersey gubernatorial election is something that I know a lot of folks that follow everything that's been happening with the COVID pandemic, a lot of folks that are concerned about things like property taxes and gas taxes, they've been following. They had a big debate. Governor Murphy and Jack Cittarelli last week, and it's been getting, actually this week, it's gotten pretty good reviews from people who are supporters of both candidates. Most folks agree that it was a pretty good debate. Before we get to your conversation with both men and what you're doing this weekend, give me your take on the debate that we saw this week.
Well, it was feisty. It was intense. The governor, even though Governor Murphy appears to be up 9-10 points or so, he came out swinging. He came after Jack Cittarelli on his relationship with Donald Trump, which may not be a problem for your audience, Frank, but it is a problem in a very blue state like New Jersey. And Cittarelli, rightfully so, came after the governor on 8,000 people who died in nursing homes after, you know, the governor made a very tough decision. In retrospect, I think it was the wrong decision to send people back into those nursing homes after they had COVID and without any guarantee that the nursing homes had, in fact, done what they needed to do to protect other patients and separate people and put them in different wings. And I pressed the governor in my interview, and he was pressed in the debate as well. My opinion, he didn't own it. He doesn't own it. He doesn't take responsibility. He puts it on the nursing home. So it was substantive. It was feisty, as I said, always respectful. They don't think they like each other. But compared to what has gone on in presidential races and what went on after the presidential election, this was civil. So that's progress, Frank.
Well, I'll certainly say so, and want to talk about what you're doing this weekend. But just in that debate, there were a couple of interesting moments for me. One, Jack Cittarelli, the Republican, actually came out in support of driver's licenses for illegal aliens. That's not necessarily a stereotypical Republican issue. Phil Murphy came out in favor of not raising any more taxes in his second term. Tell me what you think the significance of that was, and was there anything else in the debate that surprised you?
Yeah, and Frank, you picked up on two really interesting points. I actually, if they had a mulligan, you know, I like to play golf, and I'm not very good, but you get a mulligan, you know, on the first hole, you get a second shot, at least with the guys I play with. I think that those guys, if Murphy and Cittarelli could get a mulligan on this, I'm not convinced that that's the way they really wanted to say it. I'm not 100% convinced that Jack Cittarelli supports driver's license for illegal immigrants. I'm not 100% convinced that Phil Murphy is absolutely committed to not raising taxes again, because there's no way to pay for Murphy's very progressive far left agenda. Not saying I disagree with it. I'm fiscally pretty conservative, contrary to what some people might think. Our taxes are way too high. Our property taxes are too high. The big income tax, we're losing more and more people in the state of New Jersey who go to Florida for one day more than a half a year, and we lose all that revenue. I'm not convinced that Murphy actually means what he's saying when he says he's not going to raise taxes, because there's no way to pay for his agenda.
Steve.
Yeah, they said it. It's interesting and newsworthy. I'm not convinced it's real.
Steve, trust me, anybody that knows or has any idea of how much money you make would not be the least bit surprised that you're for lower taxes and for fiscal conservatism. But it was interesting. I only got to see a bit of the debate because my brother-in-law is staying with us, and he's in from California, so you kind of have to watch what he wants to watch. And, you know, they're all catching up, they're all talking, and they can't really pay that much close attention to the debate. But one of the things I did notice is that there seemed to be a great deal more audience participation in this debate as opposed to other debates that I've seen. A lot of folks cheering for both candidates. What role did that play in terms of the dynamics of this debate as far as you're concerned?
Listen, the folks at ABC, you know, WABC television, as opposed to 77 WABC, they had this whole thing about you can't applaud, you can't cheer, you can't boo. You're in New Jersey. Are you serious? After COVID, the idea that people are just out in an event and engaged in a political debate where there's some excitement, you can't be serious telling people, don't just sit there with your hands folded. I mean, sit there with your mask on, but you got to be able to cheer and boo and do what you would do at a Yankee game. And to think that that wouldn't happen is absurd. And I also think it was respectful. And to Murphy and Cittarelli's credit, they at times, you know, asked the crowd to calm down, to give the other person a chance to talk, to be respectful. But you got to be able to have some audience participation. I don't get the idea that people can't boo or cheer as long as they're respectful and allow the candidates to have their say. Otherwise, it's ridiculous. I do think it mattered. I think that it really brought some excitement to it. And both candidates played to their respective audience, which is absolutely fine.
Did this debate move the needle at all? Do you think there was anyone that was either that was undecided and based on this debate made their decision for Murphy or Cittarelli? Or if somebody was leaning towards Murphy, was there anything in this debate that moved them towards Cittarelli or vice versa?
You know, I actually, Frank, don't think it's the debate itself. And you've been around politics and analyze it better than most to know that it's what's said after. It's not only the spin of people in the campaigns, but it's your show. It's other prominent shows that have good ratings. It's with the TV commercials that take sound bites from a debate and use it. It's not the debate itself. Here's the thing. I think that if I'm going to be conservative in my judgment, I say 90% of the electorate has already decided who they're going to vote for. Okay. So say Murphy is anywhere from 8 to 10 points ahead. That means if it's 10 to say max 15% of the population that hasn't decided,
and who they're going to vote for. Cittarelli, my view, has got to get 60-70% of who's left in order to have a legitimate shot. And I really do believe otherwise people have made their decision. And by the way, there are a lot of people, Democrats, who are going to vote for Phil Murphy who don't even really know much about his record. Mm. They're just Democrats, and that's what they're going to do. And Cittarelli may not have enough money, frankly, to get out there, not clearly not as much as Murphy, to be in as many TV spots as what how you know most people still vote in politics, whether it on television, on radio, and or in social media.
Talking with Steve Adubato, Emmy Award-winning anchor for PBS, author of the book Lessons in Leadership, also the host of the Lessons in Leadership podcast. You can check out his website at steveadubato.org. That's A-D-U-B-A-T-O. Steve, tell me what you've got going on this weekend. You have a sit-down with both Governor Murphy and Jack Cittarelli. When is this? What is this? How can folks see this?
Yeah, so PBS stations in the New Jersey and New York region. In New York, it's WNET. That'll be Saturday morning at 8:30 on WNET. Also, on Saturday and Sunday morning, 8 and 8:30 back-to-back, you've got on NJPBS, you've got those programs. See, what's interesting is that you've got Murphy the first week, and you got Cittarelli the second week, and then we're going to rotate them throughout October. So there'll be four airings every Saturdays and Sundays. I know it sounds complicated, but if you look on our website, steveadubato.org, you'll see them there. We wanted to give each candidate their own separate half hour because, Frank, I'm into debates. I find them interesting and fun. But for me, I wanted to have an in-depth, issue-oriented discussion with each candidate. And I pressed Governor Murphy on the nursing homes. I pressed him on taxes. I pressed him on a lot of issues. And I pressed Jack Cittarelli on a whole range of issues as well, and followed up when I didn't get a straight answer, which was more often than not, I did not get a straight answer.
From Cittarelli or from both candidates?
Both. I mean, again, I'll repeat myself on the nursing homes. I've been talking to you about this. Mm. You know, to me, it's a leadership thing. It's not so much political. I don't understand, Frank, why the governor, and I'll talk about Jack Cittarelli in a second, I don't get how you just can't say, you know something? This is what I knew at the time. This is what I thought at the time. We should not have sent those people who had COVID back into those nursing homes. It was a mistake. We should have guaranteed, or the nursing homes had to guarantee that they could protect them. They didn't do it, and our Department of Health and other agencies didn't ensure that the nursing homes would do it. He won't say it. And to me, that's a leadership question. Admit that in retrospect, it was a mistake. I want to press them on that. Did not get a straight answer. Yes, I also wanted to press Jack Cittarelli on a simple question. You were at a so-called, quote, Stop the Steal rally, which some people in your audience may think that's fine. In New Jersey, it's not so fine. In other parts of the country, not so fine. With me, not so fine. And I'll tell you why. Because at that rally that he was at with Confederate flags, with the Stop the Steal, which to me is connected to January 6th, Jack Cittarelli had the nerve to say he didn't know what he was going to. His picture and his name was on the brochure that went out. He was right there speaking with people who had stopped to steal signs in front of him and Confederate flag. I asked him. He said he didn't see it. I don't buy it. He's too smart of a guy. Why didn't he just say, you know what? I was with Trump. I supported Trump. I wasn't convinced that Biden won the election. So I was at the rally. In retrospect, Biden's the president. That's what I did, and I stand for it.
Right. He's sort of trying to have it both ways. Yeah. And the irony there is that Cittarelli was always a never Trump Republican. And then he sort of geared in a more Trumpian direction in order to win that primary. And now he's going to kind of own those pro-Trump positions. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Now, you alluded to a poll that shows Cittarelli only 9 points behind Phil Murphy. Is that race closer than you expected or about where you would expect?
I think it's actually going to get closer. I really do. I think that those who are undecided, this is my view of New Jersey. If you're undecided, there's a decent chance you're an independent and you could go either way on this thing. If you were going to vote for Phil Murphy, wouldn't you know enough about his tax policies, but more importantly, I shouldn't say more importantly, but more pressing given the COVID crisis, how he handled it? Wouldn't you know if you wanted to vote for him or not? I've got to believe that the race is more like 7 points. And that's why I'm saying if Cittarelli can win a high percentage of those undecided voters, this thing could go down to the wire. And I'm not just saying that to create a race like the Yankees have, a legitimate playoff run here, like fake excitement I think this is a real race. It's around 7 or 8 points right now. And that's why the governor is spending every penny he has, and he has a lot of them. He is spending a ton of money on this race. And truthfully, Frank, I'm convinced that Phil Murphy has convinced himself that if he wins this race, he wants to run for president.
I have no doubt.
In New Jersey have done the same thing, and it hasn't worked out so well. But I think he thinks that.
I don't think there's anything New Jersey deserves more than a Chris Christie versus Phil Murphy race for the presidency in 2024. You alluded to Murphy and raising taxes in his first term and the possibility of a tax increase in his next term. What are the other key pitfalls in terms of issues for him? Clearly, the cost of living is one. I hear a lot about the vaccine mandates, the mask mandates for children as young as 2 in New Jersey schools. Is that something that's going to have any sort of an electoral impact, or is it just that the people that are very gung-ho about that stuff tend to be more vocal?
Well, first of all, we have an 11-year-old daughter who's in the 6th grade. And look, do I love the fact that she has to carry it's a plastic shield that she puts up in front of her desk every day? No. But I know it helps on some level. Do I love the fact that she's wearing a mask and the kids have to wear it all day and sometimes they can't see each other's faces or actually hear each other very well? No, I don't love it. But you know what? Safety first. Now, I don't think I'm the exception, because in most of the polls, Frank, in New Jersey, most parents, most voters believe in the mask mandate, believe in mandatory vaccines. Now, there have got to be some exceptions for some people in certain circumstances, but at the same time, I don't think that hurts Murphy. However, the 2-year-old thing, that's not making sense to me. I don't understand logically, from a practical point of view, how the 2-year-old in a pre-K, in a daycare program keeps that mask on. I can't believe the pressure they're putting on childcare workers to make sure that happens. I don't know if it hurts him politically. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And believe me, I'm a big mask guy. I'm a big vaccine mandate guy. That part just does not only goes too far, it's not practical.
Yeah, talking with Steve Adubato, you could see him interviewing both Governor Phil Murphy and his challenger Jack Cittarelli this weekend on PBS, and you could just check steveadubato.org to see all the times that it's going to be replayed. You know, I have followed New Jersey politics, not nearly as closely as you have, but I'm much more of an expert, I guess you'd say, in New York politics. So I always look at New Jersey.
You are an expert. It's not
well, I always look at New Jersey politics with great interest, but I don't pretend to have your level of expertise. That's why when someone asked me this question recently, I said I would ask you, because you're probably the person that I know personally that knows most about New Jersey politics out of anybody. And someone said, a New Jersey voter, that they had revealed, that they had unveiled the times and the dates for early voting in New York, in New Jersey, but not the locations. Why would the locations still be to be determined, but not the dates or the times?
Frank, you have stumped me. I mean, usually you stump me with a Godfather question. You stumped me right here, because I would think that you would have to know the locations. Now, I guess the Secretary of State's office runs the elections along with the county clerks. Okay, so it's October the 1st. The election is November the 2nd. You got to tell people in the next week or so. I mean, it's only logical. I'm not going to say I'm an expert on that, but if that's actually true, it's not making sense more than another week or so. You got to tell people where they can early vote.
I know you're going to speak with my colleague Dominic Carter tomorrow night. If you find the answer in the next 24 hours, maybe you could let Dominic know, and he'll share it with our audience.
I would be glad to do that. And two great hosts on 77 WABC.
And you are a Newark guy. Your family has long roots in Newark, especially your
born
dad,
and raised,
who's unfortunately no longer with us. What is your take on the many saints of Newark? Are you excited about it? Are you going to see it reluctantly? Are you open-minded? What's your take on the Sopranos prequel when it comes out?
Frank, I'm pumped. I'm ready. I'm looking forward to it. Born and raised, as I said, in Newark, New Jersey. I will tell you, I've also interviewed many of the actors connected to The Sopranos over the years. I'm not one of the Italian, as well. I'm incredibly proud of my heritage and that my grandparents came here from Italy. back in 1919, 1920. I will say this. I'm not one of those Italian-Americans who believes that The Sopranos hurts, quote-unquote, our people. I do appreciate that it's art, it's film, it's TV, it's a movie that we're talking about right now. It's entertainment, and that's the way I look at it. I'm pumped and ready to – I'm not going to go to the movies, but I'm going to sit home and watch it when it comes out with my mom, who's I think she's going to be up late tonight listening to you anyway. But my mom, Fran, out of Ottawa and Newark, and she's looking forward to it as well.
Well, Fran is one of the few people that knows more about The Godfather than the two of us combined. So if she's listening, then we're in a good position. Steve, thanks very much for the time this morning. I know we kept you up past your bedtime. I'll be watching the special on PBS this weekend. I hope all of our listeners do, too, and we'll certainly be listening to you with Dominic tomorrow as well.
As always, Frank, it's my honor and pleasure to be with my friend. All the best, Frank.
Hey, thank you, Steve. Steve Adubato, if you want to comment on any portion of our conversation, you're welcome to give me a call. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.
You're hearing things.
You're hearing things.
On 77 WABC.
Olivia Newton-John singing Let's Get Physical, a great, not only a great song, but a terrific music video, a very funny music video, actually. Taking your calls at 1-800-848-9222, that's 1-800-848-WABC. Let me say hello to Gary in the Garden State. Hello, Gary.
Oh, Frank, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say it was good to hear that you had Steve Adubato on, because I think his father or some relative was a teacher up in Velsberg High. But anyway, it was good to hear that young American, Italian Americans like you guys are making a good, honest living. And, I just wanted to ask you one thing. The resort's handprints, are they ever going to bring them back down AC?
The resort's handprints, I'm not sure that I know what that is.
Well, I was going to Atlantic City since the 80s, and they used to have the Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Lola Filano, and a bunch of other movie stars right in the front of the building, and they had all their handprints in cement. And then I think maybe the last 4 or 5 years, I can't remember exactly when, but they got rid of them.
Oh, it was in front of the resort's casino?
Oh, yeah. Anybody that has a little age on them would know this. And you could go there and put your hands into the other movie star's hands before you went in and played.
Gary, I didn't know that, but I'm going to be at Resorts tonight. I'm going down for Harry Hurley's charity function, which is at Resorts. Tony Orlando is going to be there. Johnny Russo is going to be there. And the head guy at Resorts, Tom Cantone from Mohegan Entertainment, he's going to be there. So I will ask Mr. Cantone himself and anybody else at Resorts that's in a position to know what the story is. And I will report back next week. But I appreciate you calling, and I appreciate you bringing that to my attention. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Russell is in White Plains. Hello, Russell.
Oh, hi, Frank. This is a hybrid Ask Frank and denunciation call. But one thing, I'm voting for Curtis, but when he calls for retaliatory violence, I don't think that's a good thing.
Well, first of all, if you're voting for him in White Plains, it doesn't really necessarily do anything for him to win the mayoral election because,
I'm up here taking care of my mom. I'm registered on the Upper West Side.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, then I take that back.
Yeah, well, no, you how could you know? But what I want to ask you about is, you know, what is Gail Brewer doing being the face of Carmine's Restaurant? You know, and when you mentioned influence peddling, it struck a bell, because I'm sure Carmine's is a big campaign contributor. And I know you like Gail because for 10 years she sponsored ranked choice voting in the city council. I understand that. But explain to me why she chose that restaurant to scapegoat these three black women. And, you know, they're coming, their court case is coming up October 5th, but nobody pays any attention to what Gail Brewer was doing. Now, what would have been a police, you know, false arrest case is now a defamation case, because the borough president of Manhattan was denouncing these women. And it's going to cost the taxpayers in New York a lot of money. And I just don't understand why she did that. Maybe you could explain why. You know, because these things are going on at restaurants all over the city, these confrontations, and white people and black people, Hispanic, but this is the one where she chose to be the face of, and I just don't know.
Well, I can't explain it, Russ, but, I mean, isn't the reason that Carmine's was the first place that folks started to focus on this, wasn't that because there was violence there?
Did you, you know, to me, it looked like a scrum from the very beginning. I mean, when I see violence, because I used to live on 89th and Amsterdam where Curtis found that gun, I know what violence is. That was a scrum. Apparently they grabbed at her. The hostess got more scratches from the other staff members restraining her. It just seemed like this was something that Gail didn't need to do, but she's been taking contributions from Carmine's for 20 or 30 years. That's what they do. Carmine's contributes to the community garden, to everyone else around there. And, you know, Paul DiRienzo on BAI mentioned that he asked Gail 20 years ago about gentrification, and Gail Brewer said that really wasn't an issue on the Upper West Side. Well, it's not anymore, because Gail Brewer and Ruth Messenger made sure that the neighborhood changed. And I think people don't realize that. And, you know, I'm a big supporter of Nancy, but she's not getting any money. And, you know, I just hope to be out there. I'm going to put up some flyers for Nancy. And like you said, you can't be responsible for what other people do.
That's right.
So thanks.
Thank you, Russell. I just say, the shame of the Carmine situation is, and look, whenever you have a dispute and one side says this is what happened and the other side that says this is what happened, it's impossible to know the truth, even if there's video sometimes. You don't know what the source of the scrum was. However, and this is where I part from my friend Steve Adubato, who you just heard a minute ago, I really think that asking restaurants to enforce this vaccine mandate invites more confrontations like this. If people don't know what Russell's talking about, it was reported that this group of people from Texas essentially assaulted a hostess who wanted to see their vaccination card. And then it became sort of a racial issue, because there was speculation that maybe they were racially targeted. I don't know if that's true, but I do know that if the restaurants weren't enforcing this restaurant mandate to begin with, then you wouldn't have seen that confrontation. 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let me say hello to Tom in Manhattan. Hello, Tom.
Good morning, Frank. I'm calling back. The other night, the touch of the hour, you couldn't carry me over, whatever. It was in regards to the article the other day, Tuesday, in the Post, Carol Markowitz speaking about the divided nation, you know.
Right, and we started the top of the show with this yesterday as well.
Yeah, you know, it's a subject matter, I believe, that makes people uncomfortable. And I can't help you if you're uncomfortable, you know. You just...
I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable, Tom.
No, not you. I mean, many people, the idea of that happening, or even a motion to put that on the table, some people cringe about it, because, you know, the people in Northeast feel like, oh, we'd lose control of the country if that happened. And, well, you know, the ideas and ideals, wars are generally started over territories and money and ideology.
Yeah, and if people don't know what Tom is talking about, and they missed yesterday's show, we're talking about this idea that some people on the left and on the right have brought up that maybe it's time for a national split. Carol Markowitz wrote about it in the New York Post this week. I've linked to the article on my Facebook page at facebook.com/MoranoFan. So it sounds like, Tom, that you differ from Carol. You think we are ready for a national split.
I am. I am absolutely convinced that this would be the time. You know, when nations go to war, whether it's a civil war or a foreign invasion or international conflict, it's generally just not started. Missiles don't just start flying and conventional troops don't start moving in over borders. They may line up to intimidate, to put pressing issues on the table of diplomacy. And when diplomats fail to recognize that these differences can't come together to keep things peaceful, you know, violent actions happen. And, you know, in this country, I've stated this before with friends of mine who are not familiar with the rest of the country. I don't know if anybody, you go east of Appalachia, west of the Rockies, there are people whose ideals do not line with ours. In other words, they love the United States. They love our Constitution. They have very much on that idea of the Constitution and what the Founding Fathers gave us through the Enlightenment period. There's people like yourself and me who will embrace that. But there's many here who do not. And you have conversations with them along just in the streets of Manhattan, you can see it or you hear the conversation. They don't care. They got the New York Times glued to the left hand and they're walking around in an oblivion with the mask on, thinking like, you know, oh, there's a COVID virus out there killing us and everybody's going to die. It's just insanity thinking. And that's why, going back to what Steve Alvato said about New Jersey, you know, New Jersey has an exodus of residents higher than New York. Now, you would not believe that because of the press, you know, the concerns of New York City and the fiscal pillars of the city are very, very dire right now. I don't think people realize how bad it is.
Oh, no, I would believe it. I would believe it, yeah. Tom. Hey, Tom, I appreciate the call. I disagree, not in terms of the problems that you've outlined, but in terms of what you think is the proposed solution. And I disagree for some of the same reasons that Carol Markowitz put out in her column, which, again, I've linked to at facebook.com/MoranoFan. Also, while you're on there, I hope you'll make a contribution to the psoriasis walk on Sunday. But I don't think the solution to dissolving America the solution to the polarization in America is dissolving the United States of America. I really think we need to find a way in this country to view one another as neighbors, not as adversaries, to view our political opponents as people we disagree with, not people we want to destroy. And I'm talking about both sides of the equation that do this, and even people who are on the same side. We need a national effort to make this country more civil and to find the many areas where we agree. It was interesting. Paula Poundstone, in my discussion with her yesterday, she talked about how she would bet, essentially, that if you put her together with somebody who was diametrically opposed to her politically and they started talking about issues, they would be you'd be amazed at how much they agreed upon. And that's my philosophy as well. I really think that when you strip away the professional wrestling aspect of politics, the MSNBC coverage, the Fox News coverage, and you get people together, people tend to want the same thing. They want safe streets. They want the garbage picked up. They want fires put out. They want bad guys arrested. They don't want to spend crippling amounts of money in order to be able to afford to live in their hometown. I really do think that's the thing that most people want, no matter what color they are, no matter what political party they are. And I think we've lost that in this country. There's no there's no commonality. Instead, these entities in the media, in the punditocracy, in politics, they just sow the seeds of division. They just fan the flames of division. And I think it's a much easier thing to do than it's a much easier thing to heal that than it is to just start a new country. And I think it's a much wiser thing to do. Well, wherever you fall on the political spectrum, I'm sure you've noticed by now what we're seeing in terms of inflation. Have you been to the grocery store? Have you been to the gas pump lately? If so, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Inflation is out of control. And a lot of the policies that we're seeing out of Washington are only tending to make that worse. A lot of the policies we're seeing out of the Federal Reserve are only tending to make that worse. And that's where you really need to make sure you're investing wisely. Make sure you're hedging your bets with gold and precious metals. And Legacy Precious Metals is really the premier company that handles this kind of thing. If you have your money in a traditional retirement account, think about rolling it into a gold or a silver IRA. And think about doing it with Legacy Precious Metals. Last time the stock market crashed, people that were invested in gold saw big gains. Everybody else saw their 401ks become 201ks. That's why gold should be a part of every investor's portfolio. Let Legacy help you. Talk to them. Their people will give you unbiased information based on your individual situation. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. Write this number down. 866-932-0635. That's 866-932-0635. Or go to the website legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com. Let me say hello to Pete on Staten Island. Hello, Pete.
Hey, Frank. Good morning. Yeah, I want to bring something to the table. I'm coming into Manhattan to go to Mount Sinai with a relative of mine. He has to be tested for COVID-19 weekly, and he has been a problem with the stick up the nose because he's getting sinus infections real bad. He had two of them in the last 2 weeks, so they have a test where you spit in a container and they analyze it. Now, I don't know the details if it costs more or if there's a cost or insurance covers, but this is necessary for him to do in order to keep his job. So I'll know more about it tomorrow. Well, I'll know more, you know, for Monday, because we're going there for like 5 o'clock tonight. I'm going to be in traffic up our gut. So say a prayer for me with the traffic up by Mount Sinai.
Good luck, Pete. I can't speak to that. I can't speak to that that issue of the tests. I'm not familiar with that test, but I will wish you luck with the traffic. And you're going to want to stay tuned in the 5 a.m. hour to the WABC Early News, because we've got traffic and transit on the 7s with the best traffic reporter in the business, Joe Nolan. Hey, coming up, there's a new book by Katie Couric. It's something of a tell-all. It actually seems pretty interesting, and boy, oh boy, is she telling all. We'll give you some of the highlights and some of the lowlights in just a bit. Until then, your influence counts, so use it.
WABC.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
I'm not tired yet.
everybody. This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Moreno. We have a lot to get to this hour, including the $1,000 minute. You're not going to want to miss that. It's your opportunity to win $1,000 if you can answer 10 questions in 60 seconds. And if you get a question incorrect, or if you run out of time, you lose. I'd say the fella yesterday did very well. I actually thought he was not only accurate, but he was tearing it up in terms of timing. He was on a pace to. So some people said, "Oh, it shouldn't be 60 seconds; it should be 77 seconds." That guy was on pace to win. He was at question six and still had 30 seconds to go. Matt, did you think that guy was going to win yesterday? He was on a roll.
I had really high hopes. Like, he was doing really well. Like, every time he got a question right, like, I normally count with my fingers every time they get a question right. And as soon as he got to number five, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, he was on a roll. So hopefully we'll be able to do even better today. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing all right. Yourself?
I'm great.
Got any plans for the weekend?
You know, my weekends are so busy that I'm just trying to get through today. I can't imagine trying to get through the whole weekend. Today, we have our post-show meeting, which I'm certainly looking forward to.
Yes.
Supposed to have breakfast with somebody, and then I may be launching this new podcast for WABCRadio.com, and I may have a pre-tape for that at 10 today. So I may do that. And then I'm going back home, and then a friend of mine is picking me up to go to the Harry Hurley charity event in Atlantic City, which I'm really looking forward to, with Tony Orlando and Johnny Russo tonight. So that should be a lot of fun. I don't remember what I have scheduled for Saturday. I may go to Long Island. My wife and her siblings are going to be out there for one of my siblings-in-law's birthday. And then on Sunday, I'm going to be in the Bronx for the National Psoriasis Foundation walk. If anybody wants to walk, you can sign up at my I have the link on my Facebook page, facebook.com/MoranoFan.
Whereabouts in Long Island?
They're in eastern Long Island. They're in the Mastic area.
Like near Montauk and Riverhead?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Mm.
Yeah. What about you? What do you have going on?
I have nothing much going on for the weekend. Just going to probably do a couple chores around the house, hang out with friends, all that kind of jazz.
I bet you Molly has something excited planned.
Molly, yeah? You got something?
Absolutely nothing.
All right, good. Well, you get some rest.
That is exactly what I'm going to do, because Joe from Jamaica tells me every time that I pick up the phone to get some rest.
There you go. He
knows. You hear that, Joe?
And I'm finally going to listen to his advice.
All right. Well, Katie Couric was a longtime presence on the morning news, shows like the Today Show. Then for a time, she became the anchor of the CBS Evening News. She did a syndicated talk show for a while on TV as well. She was very popular. She's led quite a career. Then she went to Yahoo News, was making all sorts of money. Now, she's got this new memoir out. I would never even think to buy this book, but this seems like a real tell-all memoir. I mean, This is pretty interesting. So the book is called Going There. And it's gotten some people complaining that Katie Couric went full scorched earth, leaving no colleague, leaving no lover, leaving no famous friend untorched. So in this book, again, I haven't read it, so I'm just basing it on what the media reports are. In this book, she mocks and puts down everyone, from celebrities like Martha Stewart and Prince Harry to industry colleagues. See, this is where I wish Juliet was here. I can't remember which one is Prince Harry. Is that the one that lives here in America with Meghan Markle? Do you know? Okay, you were checking. All right. I mean, it's not even worth looking up. But see, Juliet would just knows this stuff instinctually. So she goes after Prince Harry, she goes after Martha Stewart, goes after industry colleagues like Deborah Norville and even the late Larry King. Even her exes, like TV producer Tom Werner, they don't escape unscathed. So in this book, Katie Couric blasts Martha Stewart, who the news anchor had previously roasted with a poem at a 1996 awards ceremony, saying she required, quote, some healthy humbling. Prison will do that to develop a sense of humor, Ouch, that's a little harsh. So she also ripped into Deborah Norville, who Katie Couric replaced on the Today Show 30 years ago, for alienating viewers with her, quote, relentless perfection. When Couric met Prince Harry, and that is the one that lives here now with Meghan Markle, at a polo match in Brazil, apparently during his wild oats sowing phase, the stench of cigarettes and alcohol seemed to, as she writes, ooze from every pore in his body. As for Larry King, who died in January, we chronicled his passing at the time, at the age of 87, Katie Couric suggests he was a creep after going out for an Italian dinner with the TV legend, who was 24 years her senior. The pair went back to King's apartment where she writes, he made a lunch for her that reportedly involved his tongue and hands while she sat on the sofa. When I like, I really like, he dejectedly told her after she pushed him off. Now, first of all, isn't it funny that on television, Katie Couric always had this image of being so prissy and nice and kind and polite and wonderful? Meantime, as soon as she gets an opportunity to make some money skewering everybody she knows, she does it. You get the sense that this is one of those people that's pretending to be nice all the time on TV because that's her TV persona. And then maybe behind the scenes, she's not as nice. With me, and I think Matt and Molly and really anybody that works here would attest to this, I am exactly the same, for better or worse, off air as I am on. Maybe with the exception of, you know, I'm a little busier off air. I don't always give people the proper attention they deserve. But I don't think personality-wise there's any discernible difference between my on-air persona and my off-air persona. In Katie Couric's case, I don't think that's the case. Now, putting that aside, does she really need to insult poor dead Larry King like this? The guy is dead. What value is it to anybody 10 months after this poor guy dies at 87 to accuse him of lunging at her? And that's her word. I mean, do his kids need to hear this? Does his wife need to hear this? And then I don't know about this Katie Couric. Okay. So she goes out to dinner with Larry King. Okay. Tom Likas, for whatever it's worth, he knows a thing or two about male-female relations. He would always say, okay, you know, if you want to be romantic with a woman, you go out for dinner or drinks. If you're interested in just a platonic relationship, generally you would go for lunch, okay? So you go to lunch with friends, you go to lunch with colleagues. Somebody that you're interested in pursuing romantically, you go out to dinner with. So I don't know that Katie Couric should have been terribly surprised. Then you keep in mind the fact that Larry King, I don't know when this dinner was that she had with Larry King, but Larry King was married 8 times to 7 different women. So chances are Larry has a little bit of a weakness for ladies, okay? Married 7 times, and Katie Couric knew this. You're going out to dinner. You don't think he's going to try something. And then they go back to Larry King's apartment. So you take a woman out to dinner. You go back to your apartment. And is it unfathomable to think that maybe Larry would make a pass at her? And look, maybe he misread a signal or something. Maybe he thought she was more into him than she apparently was. Does he need this born out? You know how many women I've tried to kiss? And not when I was married. But you know how many women I've tried to kiss that weren't into it? That's it. And I don't need to be embarrassed after I'm dead by having it written about in a book. I really think I've never had much of an opinion one way or another about Katie Couric. I think this is reprehensible. that she would do this to Larry King after he's dead and can't defend himself. He can't offer any explanation. He can't say it's not true. He can't say it's true and I'm sorry. She put this in there to add more salacious details to her book. And I think this is really crummy. Her ex-boyfriend, Mr. Werner, she writes, was a textbook narcissist who dumped her via email after he love-bombed her with gifts. Now, okay, they had a relationship. It didn't go well. That's the beauty of having books written, is that you get to kind of even the score. So I don't know what you think about this, but this book comes – you're welcome to weigh in if you like. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. This book comes several years after Couric's last major gig as Yahoo's global news anchor ended back in 2017. Before her stint at ABC News, which lasted from 2011 to 2014, she landed a $15 million gig at the CBS Evening News, where she worked as an anchor and managing editor from 2006 to 2011. The move, she writes, the CBS move, was, quote, unwinnable and left her feeling embattled, defensive, and misunderstood. Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with including that stuff in there. I think that's the kind of stuff people actually want to read. And it's interesting. Juliette Huddy brought this up, this whole book situation, on the WABC early news yesterday. And evidently, Katie Couric was not that kind to up-and-coming young journalists. So you have a situation in this book where she wrote about Ashley Banfield. And this memoir that Katie Couric wrote, Katie Couric writes that she gave Ashley Banfield the cold shoulder. And Ashley Banfield is somebody I'm a fan of. She's been a guest on this show. And Ashley Banfield pushed back against that. And she said, essentially, it's not true. This is what Katie Couric wrote in her book. For a minute there, Ashley Banfield was the next big thing. I'd heard her father was telling anyone who'd listen that she was going to replace me. In that environment, mentorship sometimes felt like self-sabotage. So a visibly shaken Banfield addressed this on TV on Wednesday night. She rejected that allegation. She said she was never trying to take Katie Couric's job. And she said that her aging and ailing dad played a role in the alleged coup d'etat, meaning Couric said that. Banfield said she was scared, stunned, and surprised by the allegations. So I don't know who Katie Couric is trying to fool here. At least Ashley Banfield is alive to deny these claims, unlike Larry King. So maybe it could have easily been a situation where Katie Couric misunderstood Ashley Banfield's motivation, and maybe she reacted in a certain way. That's not unusual, especially in a business like television news, which is very competitive. And then the last thing I'll mention, this is excerpted in the New York Post today, and then you can comment as you see fit, 800-848-WABC. Katie Couric admitted she heard the whispers about longtime co-anchor Matt Lauer's lecherous behavior. Apparently she never heard the whispers about Larry King. All right, so she claims the women he damaged reached out to her. So one story involving Lauer, who was fired from NBC 4 years ago following all these complaints of sexual misconduct, actually dealt with women behind closed doors. And, you know, Matt Lauer supposedly had in his office a button at his desk that could lock the door from his desk. So Couric writes in this book that Lauer allegedly said that sometimes women came into his office crying, and he worried that if they sat next to him on the sofa, he can't even put his arm around them. So the former anchor said she tried to imagine such a scene taking place and advised Lauer that he cannot do that. You cannot put your arm around them. Meanwhile, Couric goes on to claim one woman
confided in her after she received an inappropriate email from Matt Lauer following a segment with biographer Kitty Kelly for her tell-all book on the Bush family. A female producer who retold the story to Couric said she reached out to Lauer to congratulate him on the combative interview. So the unnamed producer said that Lauer asked if she was trying to butter him up in an email. When she said that was not the case, as Couric wrote, Lauer reportedly responded offering to show her how to butter him up and suggested she spread it on her thighs. Couric also wrote that the producer told her that he proceeded to invite her into his office, requesting she wears a skirt that comes off easily. I don't know what it says about Katie Couric that she heard these things and didn't report them to HR, as far as we know. Couric also recalled the producer telling her that a flustered Lauer visited her office after sending the email with a book option for the show, but didn't address his blunder. So she writes, this was all part of a culture where sex and affairs were rife in the workplace. Nothing that she later learned about a secret office they called the bunker. Couric alleged, that only an unnamed male anchor had the key to use it for one-on-one encounters. Very, very interesting. Very interesting. She added that she felt Lauer was worried about a lack of due process when he lost his job. And she initially thought it was gross that Lauer was cheating on his ex-wife and taking advantage of a young staffer. But she added, quote, the general rule at the time was, it's none of your business. A don't ask, don't tell culture where anything goes and everything did. I guess I kind of get that. I mean, if somebody's telling you that they're being harassed by a coworker, I would think you'd report it to HR. But maybe that's the culture of television news at the Today Show. Maybe everybody put on a blindfold and did their own thing. So Couric says in her book that she assumed it was a consensual fling and didn't consider talking to the young employee for fear of embarrassing her. And she also wrote that she heard rumors that Annette Lauer, that's Matt Lauer's ex-wife, had called the control room one morning looking for her husband and demanding the phone number of a TV anchor he had been linked with. So that article, that excerpt is in today's New York Post. 800-848-9222. Janet is in Fairview, New Jersey. Hello, Janet.
Hi, Frank. I love your show.
Thank you.
Congratulations on your coming baby.
Thank you very much.
I just want to tell you about 20 years ago, maybe 20, 25 years ago, I had this friend who worked at NBC. Katie Couric's reputation was horrible. She said she was getting into the elevator at NBC and Katie Couric bumped into her. Never apologized, just gave her a dirty look and just walked right by her. She said she was very disrespectful to not the lowly people, but the other people in the building. She was just a worker there, like a secretary. And she said she was not a nice person.
Interesting. Very interesting, Janet. And thank you for sharing that. You know, I know you can catch me on a bad day or anybody on a bad day. And if that's the only experience you have with me or someone else when they're not having a good day, maybe you'd come across thinking that I'm not a nice guy or that someone else is not nice when in actuality they are. So I don't want to judge anyone too harshly based on one interaction. But in some ways, while I enjoy hearing some of these salacious details, and I guess that's why they're in there, because they know it'll sell books, I feel in some ways like Katie Couric is doing the same thing that Stephanie Grisham is doing and a lot of tell-all book authors are doing, which is they're compiling every negative thing they can say about anybody and they're throwing it into this book. Maybe that's just the way it is. Maybe I'm naive to think that you shouldn't say negative things about a dead TV legend like Larry King. That's the part of the book that really gets me. But even Prince Harry. Now, I'm no great lover of the royal family. But even Prince Harry, did she really need to talk about how he was, you know, he exuded the smell of alcohol and cigarettes when he was a young man? I mean, she met him so long ago. He was probably a teenager at the time. Seems like a bit of a harsh judgment for a young man, especially one growing up without a mother. So, I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about this. I'm not going to buy this book, but I'm trying to figure out if I would read this if somebody gave me a copy. I don't know. 800-848-WABC. Let me say hello to Tom in Boston. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Frank. I don't trust Katie Couric. I think she was using Larry King for the casting couch, and when he rejected her years later just to write a book, she made herself look good in the book. Made herself look like the Spider Woman.
Well,
I don't trust her at all.
It's interesting, Tom, and thank you for the call. We have no way of knowing if that's true, because there's only two people that know what happened between the two of them, and one of them's dead. So Katie Couric could say whatever she wants. 800-848-WABC. Diana is in Manhattan. Hello, Diana.
Hi. Now, dead or alive, what Larry King did is what Larry King did. And I mean, she has a right to express her truth, Katie Couric. And regarding Matt Lauer's little button that locked the door, a lot of big-time anchors, because they have stalkers, have that. You know, I mean, they have to, because you never know what's going to happen. Their office turns into basically a safe room. You know, I mean, that's the way it is, you know?
Well, that's a good point. It's a good point, Diana. Both of them are. She has the right to say whatever she wants about anybody, right? This is America. It's her book. She wants it to sell well. It always helps when you can include some details about colleagues or celebrities. I thought it was, I think it's kind of a low rent thing to describe. And again, I haven't read the book, so maybe there's greater context in it than I'm giving credit for. But you got to do that when the guy is dead. I don't like it. I would almost, if she didn't name Larry King, that's one thing. But he can't give his version of what happened because he's dead. I don't know that you had to include him in there. So, but that's me, and that's why Katie Couric is Katie Couric. All right, we're going to do the $1,000 Minute coming up in just 3 minutes. That's where you get an opportunity to answer 10 questions in 60 seconds. If you do that in 60 seconds or less, you can win $1,000. All you have to do is call 1-800-848-9222 and be the seventh caller. If you're the seventh caller and you've never played before, you have a chance to answer these questions. 800-848-9222. If it goes more than 60 seconds or you answer a question incorrectly, you're out. You lose. But if you answer all 10 questions correctly within 60 seconds, then you are $1,000 richer. Go ahead and be the seventh caller now to 800-848-WABC. We'll do the $1,000 Minute straight ahead.
It's the Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
Hey, Jude. Don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better. Hey, Jude, don't be afraid.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Moreno. That's the Beatles singing Hey Jude. It's Friday, and Friday and every day right around this time, we give you an opportunity to win $1,000 as part of
The Other Side of Midnight presents
It's the $1,000 Minute. Answer 10 questions correctly in 1 minute, and you could win $1,000. Here's your host, Frank Morano.
Now, if you get a question incorrect, the contest ends. And that's it. That's your opportunity to compete. Robert in Columbus, Ohio is today's contestant. Hello there, Robert.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Robert. Are you listening to us on the internet or are you listening on the radio?
I'm listening to you on the internet because I'm in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay, great. Well, I know. I mean, we have a pretty strong signal. Some days it may reach out there. All right, so you're familiar with the game, Robert?
Yes.
Okay, so you have to answer 10 questions in 60 seconds, and if you do, simple as that, you will earn $1,000. Now, I'm going to ask you the questions. If you answer a question correctly, I'm just going to move on to the next question so that we can answer as go through as many of these questions as possible so you don't get beat by the buzzer there, okay?
Yes.
All right, you're
fine.
Ready to go, right?
Absolutely.
Let's do it. How many years is a president's term?
4.
What day of the week does Tony Orlando's show air on WABC?
Oh, I know it's on the weekend. I'm going to say, I know it's either Saturday or Sunday. However, because I listen to Sinatra on Sunday, I'm going to say it's Saturday.
Good. Who's the Republican nominee for governor of New Jersey?
Oh, that's the recent thing. I'm thinking, I know Chris Christie would like to be, but Ketter Rinelli?
All right, we're out of time. The correct answer there was Jack Cittarelli, who I was just talking with Steve Adubato about not 45 minutes ago. So if you would have listened a little more intently to that interview with Steve Adubato, you'd know the answer to that. All right. Robert, if you give Molly your information, we'll give you the other side of Midnight Baseball cap. And if you want to purchase some great WABC merchandise yourself, caps, T-shirts for people like Cousin Brucey, Bill O'Reilly, John Catsimatidis, all you have to do is go to WABCRadioStore.com. That's WABCRadioStore.com. I think my hat is currently sold out. But I'm told they're ordering more, and I'm told that pretty soon they're actually going to offer a T-shirt as well. So WABCRadioStore.com. Again, I am participating in the National Psoriasis Foundation Walk this weekend. I would really appreciate it if you'd consider making a small donation to me. And if you want to walk with me, that's great, too. You can go to the link on my Facebook page, Facebook.com/MoranoFan. And psoriasis, I know people may not think it's as terrible a disease as cancer or leukemia, and that's certainly true. It's not. But it's something that affects millions of people, and it's something that a lot of the key scientists and researchers believe can be cured within our lifetime, which is more than could be said for a lot of other autoimmune diseases. So I have psoriasis. It's a real pain, literally, at times. And I know a lot of people that have dealt with psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis over the years. And this is a great organization that does some great work in terms of research and in terms of advocacy, which I'm proud to be a part of it. I'm also going to be emceeing this event on Sunday in the Bronx. So if you want to walk with me, join my team. My team's called the Frankfooters. Or if you want to just make a small donation, go to my Facebook page, Facebook.com/MoranoFan. That's Facebook.com/MoranoFan. We're going to talk with Juliet Huddy coming up in just a little while. Juliet and I are going to bring you the news for the day. And then I am looking forward to starting my weekend. We have Juliet and I are on from 5 to 6, but after that, I'm going to try and grab a brief nap on the couch that John and Margot and Emily and Chad were kind enough to see that we got in the green room. And we have a post-show meeting today. I'm going to do a quick breakfast with a friend, have an interview at 10, head home, quick nap. Maybe I'll nap on the bus on the way home. And then I am off to Atlantic City for this Harry Hurley charity event tonight. So hopefully your weekend is as fulfilling and as fun as mine is. Hey, a couple of quick stories that I wanted to bring to your attention before we ran out of time. Have you seen the approval rating for the Supreme Court of late? The approval rating of the U.S. Supreme Court is now down to only 40%. That is a new low. So Americans' opinion of the Supreme Court is down to 40%. That's down from 49% in July. And again, I know I always say this, but I don't like covering stories about polls because so many of these stories can be affected by how the question is phrased and things of that nature. But in July, only in July, 49% of Americans said they approved of the job the High Court was doing. This represents a new low in this Gallup poll. This poll was conducted shortly after the Supreme Court declined to block a controversial Texas abortion law. So some people are saying that's the reason why. So you judge for yourself. 800-848-9222 if you want to comment on anything we've covered this morning. There was an interesting story, speaking of the courts, that judges can't ignore jury verdicts in deciding sentencing. That's the word from the top court in New Jersey. So this is great news. And I've seen this happen in the federal system repeatedly, and it always drives me crazy. Judges cannot consider conduct that defendants are acquitted of in deciding how to sentence them when they're found guilty of lesser offenses. So that means, let's say you're tried for murder, you're found not guilty, but you're convicted of armed robbery, but the judge would say, well, I kind of think you committed that murder anyway. I'm going to give you 25 years to life. No, no, no. This ruling is a big deal, and it came in the consolidated appeal of two defendants who were tried in unrelated cases that left three people dead and one injured. In both cases, the defendants were acquitted of the most serious charge but convicted of lesser charges, and then their sentencing judge hammered them because the sentencing judges thought they were guilty of the other charges as well. I've always found it, I don't mean to be overdramatic here, but I always found it kind of un-American to sentence people for conduct that they were acquitted for. And I'm glad that's no longer going to be the case in the state of New Jersey, except in federal court, because it happens in federal court all the time. Lastly, I am buying a lottery ticket today. The Powerball jackpot is surging to $620 million. Now, that's phenomenal. There was a $1 million ticket sold in Brooklyn. So if you're a Brooklynite that got that $1 million ticket, congratulations to you. And nobody matched all of Wednesday night's numbers, so the Powerball jackpot surges to $620 million. That is wild. What would you do with that money? I mean, I guess it's if you take the lump sum payment, it's about 370-something million. Still a pretty nice payday. I'm not sure if that's before taxes or after taxes, but there's some things you don't mind paying taxes on, and that's a pretty, pretty big win. The biggest all-time – so this is the eighth biggest jackpot America's ever seen. The biggest all-time lottery jackpot was – $1.5 billion 5 years ago. So the odds of winning, those of you that want to go out and spend $1,000 or $2,000 on tickets today, the odds of winning are 1 in 292 million. So, you know, you should play lotto for fun, right? But if you want to play lotto, it's not really a sound investment. You shouldn't play lotto if you think you're going to win the money. The fun part of playing lottery is the point between when you buy your ticket and when the numbers are red. Because for those 2 days, maybe 3 days, you get to picture how you would spend that money. That's the fun part of lottery. It's $2, it's $5 as a ticket to dream. That's all it is. 800-848-9222. Mike is in West Palm Beach. Hello, Mike.
Top of the morning, Frank.
Howdy.
I just tuned into your show like 10 minutes ago. I just got the post also. And I might buy that ticket tonight, too, like you're going to do. $292 million to one, whatever. I'll tell you what, Frank, always good show. Over the past number of years, I was an extra in a couple of movies. I met a lot of celebrities, whatever. And I'm going to read that article in a little while about Katie Couric. You know, the things that go on behind the scenes, we don't even know about. She writes a book. And I was in, 5 years ago, I was in the Hamptons where my cousin lives. And who do I see walking down the boulevard with a baseball cap and shades? And I said to him, yo, aren't you Matt Lauer? Yes, I am. I said, how could you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning?
Wow, you said that to him?
Oh, definitely. Oh,
wow.
And he didn't say anything. I said, well, you have a better day, okay, Matt? And good luck in your career. real quick, I'm a longtime Met fan. How was that Met game last night? The whole season's been Murphy's Law, you know what I mean? But did you have a good time?
Yeah, I mean, again, it was a game that we all know, you know, meant nothing. But it was fun to go with my two brothers, brother's fiance, and seven of my wife's siblings. So it was fun. We had a good time. You know, you eat some ballpark food, you have a couple of beers, you watch the game, yep. and reminisce about times when the Mets were playing a little bit better. But it really is, I have to say, even as a Met fan, you're accustomed to disappointment. It's really a monstrous collapse. I mean, if you look at, I don't know that we've seen a team ever that was in first place for as long as the Mets were this year, still not even finish the season with a winning record. It's a monstrous collapse.
Definitely, the monstrous collapse. The month of August, and I go back when Dad took me to the Polar Bear. He's a crazy Dodger fan, Brooklyn, and then Mets fan. I was 8 years old the first year of 52. But I've never seen the month of August.
Yeah, it's terrible. Mike, your phone's sounding a little gurgly, so I'm going to let you go. But have a good weekend. I appreciate the call. 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Pat is in New Jersey. Hello, Pat.
Hi, Frank. First of all, congratulations on both your anniversaries.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and I just want to say how much I enjoyed your interview with your brother-in-law. He was fabulous. And I hope to have him on again soon because we have to hear more of people who are against the vaccine. And he's so intelligent and articulate. Would love to hear more of his views on that.
I definitely will invite him back, Pat. Thank you for mentioning that. Appreciate that. 800-848-9222. Hey, by the way, anybody that does donate to the National Psoriasis Foundation walk in the next 15 minutes, I will be happy to mention your name on air as well. It's the least I could do. So you can find the link at my Facebook page, facebook.com/MoranoFan. Larry is in Brooklyn. Hello, Larry.
Hi, Frank. I waited a long time, so I'm going to say what I wanted to say. I was anxious to talk when Curtis was on the air. I'll tell you why. For a lot of reasons. I was so outraged, but what outraged me the most was the cop that rolled up his window and drove away. And, you know, nothing was said about that. You didn't comment about that. No, nobody did. But I'll tell you what I realized. That cop may have been, that the 67th precinct may be corrupt. They may have been on the tape with this dog fighting operation to turn the other way. And they may have been protecting the perpetrators. And when the perpetrators came back, the cops set up this woman to get beaten up by deliberately driving away. They have to be investigated.
Well, first of all, I did ask Curtis about that. Second, he did denounce the conduct of the police there. And third, I think you're right. I can't speak to them getting paid off by this gang member or these gang members that were raising these illegal dogs. But I think you're right. There ought to be an investigation into why the cops let this woman and her husband simply be victimized by people they had to know were dangerous.
Well, he was caught in the act. He rolled up his window and he drove away. It was clear that cop has to be found out who it was and start from there.
Larry, I don't disagree with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. We'll do 15 seconds of fame in just a few minutes. And I do want to make sure I tell you about Life Change Tea. Life Change Tea is a great product. It's a product that gives you a ton of energy without caffeine. It's a tea that is specifically blended with a powerful herbal proprietary formula that does really just wonders. It does wonders for your digestive health. It does wonders in terms of filtering all this garbage out of your body. It does wonders in terms of keeping you regular. It's a daily detox that cleanses you from the inside out. It's completely organic, not chemical at all. There's no fillers, no GMOs. It's great. Their slogan is, the tea that makes you go, and it certainly does make you go. If you go to the website, getthetea.com, that's getthetea.com, you can not only order the Life Change Tea on there, but they have a ton of other great supplements, and all those supplements have one thing in common. All those supplements you can ship to your home for free if you use the promo code Frank. So go ahead and go to getthetea.com and use the promo code Frank in order to try your Life Change Tea today. We're going to do 15 seconds of fame coming up in just a few minutes, but Charlie in Hell's Kitchen had a comment about Katie Couric. Hello, Charlie.
Hello, Frank, and thank you for taking my call as always. Yeah, about Katie Couric, she's always been known to be a fake nice celebrity. Years and years ago, they had a special on cancer, raising money for cancer. All the networks got together. So Katie Couric was on the Today Show, and Charlie Gibson was on Good Morning America, obviously. So they were all raising money together for cancer, and she used the word efficacious on TV. And Charlie Gibson turned to her and said something like, oh, that's a $9 word. And then she turns and snaps to him real mean. He said, yeah, look it up in a dictionary. I was going to say, as I was telling your call screener, she reminds me of Arthur Godfrey back in the 40s. He had a reputation of being a really nice celebrity. And it was awful. It was a complete act. And he fired Julius LaRosso on the air. And it wasn't an act. It wasn't a skit or a bit. He just turned around and fired him. I was totally surprised. Like, he started crying almost on air. And his popularity went down overnight. He's one of these phony, nice celebrities. And I always got that impression of her, too. And I was wondering what you thought about it. And what you were saying earlier, everybody knew Larry King was a legend. That's no secret.
Right. And thank you for the call, Charlie. What I thought about it is not much. I never really gave Katie Couric much thought at all. People like her, great. They should watch her. It was never really a part of my media diet. I'm not against her. I've seen the Today Show. I think she's done well in a lot of the journalism that I saw. But based on the way she's torching all her colleagues, leads me to think she's not really as nice as the person that she portrayed on TV, and that was a character. You mentioned Arthur Gottfried, Charlie. There's a terrific film that I can't recommend highly enough, which deals with an aspect of that sort of same thing as Arthur Gottfried. It's called A Face in the Crowd. I love this picture. It's a great picture. Andy Griffith is the star as Lonesome Rhodes. Phenomenal. A totally different role from what you're used to seeing Andy Griffith play. He's great in it. Walter Matthau has a supporting role in it, a young Walter Matthau. It's a black and white film. It's great. There's even a cameo by Mike Wallace at one point in the film, a very young Mike Wallace. Looks like actually Chris Wallace now. But it deals with some of the same things that you're talking about, how entertainers or broadcasters put one face forward for the public, and a lot of times what you see behind the scenes can be much uglier. A Face in the Crowd. It's very, very good. 800-848-9222. We'll do 15 seconds of fame straight ahead.
Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
is Tony Braxton, Unbreak My Heart. It's a Matt Sapienza collection. This is kind of weak, Matt. I mean, last song that we're going to play before going into the weekend. Come on, you got to pick something a little bit more, a little bit more get up and go, right? I mean, we're in the weekend. That's more of a, that's a song to write out your last will and testament from. I mean, that's a kind of song where you just really, I don't know. It's not upbeat.
I don't know if it helps, but the song that I was actually looking for was Cotton Eye Joe.
Oh, well, see, that's a good Friday song.
Yeah.
Irrespective of what people think of it. It is, you know, it's got a Friday mood to it. All right. Hey, by the way, I just got an email here, and you can email me as well at frank.morano@wabcradio.com. That's frank.morano@wabcradio.com. That asking if I was going to do an Ask Frank Anything on Facebook today. The answer is maybe, right? It depends on how long our meeting goes. I'm going to try and grab a 15-minute nap at after the show. Our meeting usually starts at 7, but if our meeting doesn't start on time, then maybe there will be an opportunity to do an Ask Frank Anything on Facebook. So we have this Facebook group which you can join. And we do the same thing occasionally on Fridays that we do on the radio, where I answer your questions about anything. So if you want to participate in that, just go to Facebook and search Morano Radio Fans and Haters, join the group. And then maybe around 6:30 or maybe around 8 o'clock, we'll do an Ask Frank Anything for an hour or so and see how people what level of interest there is in that. So go on Facebook and search Morano Radio Fans and Haters. But for now, it is time for you to be heard for 15 seconds and only 15 seconds. You can say whatever you like because it's time for
The Other Side of Midnight. This is 15 Seconds of Fame.
Let's begin with Bill in Saddlebrook. Hello, Bill.
Hello. There are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on Earth.
Thank you, Bill. 800-848-9222. Fred in Yonkers.
Hello, Frank. I want to thank you for the hat you sent me. Now if someone says, hip, hip, hooray, I could throw it up in the air like a happy listener. We want the Floridories. We want the Floridories.
Mike in Montclair, hello.
Good morning, Frank. Frank, the word, as Mr. William Shatner would pronounce it, is sabotage.
Sabotage. I don't say sabotage. That's right.
I was surprised at your pronunciation.
Did I say sabotage?
You did say sabotage.
When?
During the Katie Couric.
Oh, very interesting. That must be fatigue showing. 800-848-9222. I almost always say sabotage as a tribute to William Shatner. Carol is in New Jersey. Hello, Carol.
Hi there, Frank. Thanks so much for speaking to Josh for me. And by the way, he has a great voice.
He does. He does. Usually the women are turned on by his, Hercules-like physique. It's nice to hear you turned on by his voice there. Raji is in New York City. Hello, Raji.
Hello. Sabotage or Stalin or Stalin. They're all correct. Gold digging, shady Bob Woodward wouldn't even care if World War III broke out because his primary love is not country, but lots and lots of money.
Joe in Ronkonkoma, hello.
Hey, I want to wish everybody a great weekend, and you too, Frank. And Joe Biden, it's time for you to wake up. It's time for Joe to go. Thank you, Frank.
Thank you. Roger in Massachusetts.
Yeah, maybe the vaccine numbers would be a little bit better if early on Biden would have invited Trump, both of them stand from national TV camera. He could thank Trump. They both could have done a commercial to advertise the vaccine.
That would have been nice, actually. 800-848-9222. Sal is in Brooklyn.
Yeah, how you doing? You know, your great co-host, Juliet, she used to host a show called Good Day, Wake Up, which is also what Joe Biden's assistant tells him about 12 in the afternoon.
Mark in New Haven.
Hey, a commercial reminded me of this old Roland and Martin joke that I modified to open a speech in speech class 50 years ago. Somewhere in America, there's a woman giving birth every 7 minutes. Now we have to find that woman and stop her, or at least get her husband a hobby.
Let me say hello to Russ in White Plains. Hello, Russ.
Hey, the new Jim Crow at Carmine's Restaurant is a crossover story that unites Black Lives Matter with people from the anti-vax mandate movement. I hope Juliet Huddy, who I consider the Amelia Earhart of the radio airwaves, straps on her leather helmet this weekend and re-interviews Hawk Newsom and Borough President Gail Brewer about the incident at Carmine's.
Bree is in Manhattan. Hello, Bree.
Yeah, hi, Frank. It was a pleasure listening to your brother-in-law, O'Brien. You can't get any more Irish than that. And the other thing I want to say to you, start off with saying, top of the morning to you.
That's not bad, actually, Bree. Thank you. Joe is in New Jersey. Hello.
Yeah, Muhammad Ali. I fly like a butterfly. I sting like a bee.
Thank you, Joe. Ralph in New Jersey. Hello.
You know, let us not be under the illusion that we are competing with China. It's for these people are work warrior. China is engaging in work warrior diplomacy, and they want a showdown and a confrontation with us.
Rola in New Jersey, hello.
Yeah, Phil Murphy's a piece of crap. He's a murderer and a fraud. New Jersey has a chance to get rid of this guy once and for all in a few weeks. Please, everybody, rise up, vote out Phil Murphy, the murderer, killer. Thank you.
Irishman in the Bronx.
James O'Keefe of Project Veritas needs our help. Their Marinette, New York headquarters is flooded. Go to projectveritas.com to donate and tell them the Irishman sent you.
Raul in the Bronx.
Yeah, I want to say thank you to Curtis Sliwa. I just met up with him in Brooklyn. He signed our petition to reform the TLC. Thank you, Curtis.
Oh, there you go. That's nice. And finally, Anthony is in Edison. Hello, Anthony.
Yes, good morning. Sleepy Joe and his crew have got to go. They're spending us into the ground, and they keep talking about more and more spending. What about addressing the national debt? Stop the spending and pay down the debt. Sleepy Joe, got to go.
Thank you, Anthony. You know, it's funny. That guy, the Irishman, he calls not only this show, but he calls all the shows with a variety of names. Sometimes it's Paul, sometimes it's Phil, sometimes it's whatever else. And, you know, usually his thing is to bash Jeanine Pirro for a wrongful conviction or something. But lately he's been on more of a James O'Keefe kick, promoting donate to James O'Keefe because their headquarters was flooded. So obviously, you know my personality. You know what I have to do, right? So I have to invite James O'Keefe on this show. And I have to get James O'Keefe to say a whole bunch of nice things about Jeanine Pirro. Can you imagine what that would do to that guy's life? If you take his hero, James O'Keefe, and his nemesis, Jeanine Pirro, and just put them together, the Irishman's head would just explode. All right. Hopefully you will stick around to listen to the next hour of the WABC Early News with Juliet Huddy and me. And I hope you'll also make a contribution to the National Psoriasis Foundation Walk on my behalf. Maybe even join my team. You want to walk with me? My team's called the Frankfooters. I'm going to be walking in the Bronx. My mom is on my team. She's going to be walking with us. And my wife is as well. So if you want to meet both my mom and my wife, it's a great opportunity to do it, and should be nice weather, and it's a great, great venue out there in the Bronx, so it's a lot of fun. But you could find the link to the walk on my Facebook page at facebook.com/MoranoFan. Hey, I didn't realize this earlier in the show, or I would have mentioned it. You know whose birthday it is today? Jimmy Carter. You know, it's funny. I had pretzels at the peanuts at the ball game yesterday. Can't remember the last time I had peanuts. And I think subconsciously, or maybe the universe, you know, having some sort of synchronicity, I was doing it as a tribute to Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter turning 97 years old today. And not only is he the president with the longest lifespan, but he's been married for 75 years. Now, whatever you think of Jimmy Carter, that is quite an accomplishment. Quite an accomplishment indeed. All right, the WABC Early News with Juliet Huddy and me is next. I hope you will listen to it. And I hope I'll be back on Monday for those of you that only listen to the overnight show. But listen to our show, too, because Juliet and I have been tweaking it. It's more informative, fast-paced, more entertaining, more engaging than ever. The WABC Early News is next, to be continued.